evening, Ian Lee, Talk Radio. Give us a call, 0844. Oh, what time is our prepper coming on? 11:30, we'll be finding out what you need should there be a nuclear attack or a zombie invasion. But first, the news.
I think it's just gone politically correct.
Jack Russell.
Run like the wind, run for your life.
Evening, listeners. I tell you what, the studio smells of men. After Johnny and Ash have been in here, it stinks of men. Powerful man. I am not a powerful man. I'll 0844-499-1000 if you can display any power, whatever your gender or whatever your sexuality. We don't care here. But those are powerful men, okay? And you come in here and there's a real... As human beings are like animals in that we let off a scent to indicate a lot of things. If we're feeling fruity, if we're feeling angry, if we're feeling powerful. And this room, this studio... is drenched in the power stench of Johnny and Ash Gould. And I actually think if I ran around with my hands cupped, I could scoop it up and put it into this Buxton's bottle and we could sell this stuff on the black market. Probably can't call it the black market anymore. We call it the black market for you, saying that all black people sell dodgy stuff. No. Why do we call it the black market? 0844-499-1000. If anybody... knows or cares. Today's show is going to be a tough one because my back is flipping killing me. I mean, it's I've been walking around hunched for the last 24 hours and lying on the floor for a significant part of it. I am in agony, and I don't think I've got any pills. I think the only thing I've got is Zantac, and that's for indigestion. I mean, I'm tempted to hang on a minute, crack open the Nurofen, guys. This show's about to get a little bit psychedelic. What are we talking about tonight? Well, 11:30, we got Steve Hart coming on, who is a prepper, not a fluffer. A prepper basically prepares for the end of the world. This is the kind of thing I would normally scoff at, but having just watched 10 or 11, can't remember the number, Cloverfield Lane, I'm starting to think, yeah, it was a movie. I'm starting to think that maybe, just maybe, there is something in this prepping lark, and that it would be sensible to have a stash of weapons and water. I think weapons of water. Geeky Girl's on the line. Good evening, Geeky Girl. And she's gone. Well, there we go. That's kind of how this show rocks and indeed rolls. Worst Beach Boys song of all time? Catherine, worst Beach Boys song? Barbara Ann. Barbara Ann is a stinker. I've got a huge soft spot for... We'll start the show properly in a minute. Oh, I'm just cracking open some pills, aren't I, so that I can make it through the show as well. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm delirious with pain, but I'm being very brave about it, and you won't hear me bang on about it too much. I've got a soft spot for Kokomo. Everyone slates Kokomo, right? I've got a soft spot for Kokomo. I have a hard spot for Barbara Ann. That came out wrong. I don't like... What's the opposite of a soft spot? I don't know, but I don't like Barbara Ann. I think it's an absolutely ridiculous song. And whenever they play it at a Beach Boys concert, that's the time to go and have a whittle. Normally, it's the last song of the night, so you can get to the car park and get out before everybody else does. And you're home... by the time they've finished. Ba 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 barang. Yow. I'm home. I'm in bed. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot for doing Barbara Ann. 0844-499... No, let me try that again. 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. What preparations have you made for the end of the world? I don't think the end of the world is going to happen during my lifetime. By the way, how can there be questions being raised about Egypt's airport security when nothing happened? A man without a bomb got on a plane. That happens like every time I'm on a... I hope it happens every time I get on a plane. A man without a bomb got on a plane today, and it's really brought into question Egypt's airport security. Why? They didn't do anything wrong. They did everything right. They let a man without a bomb go on an aeroplane. Is it tasteless, Catherine, to do a phone-in on the furthest you've gone to try and win back an ex? Because that's what it was all about today. That's what it was all about. It wasn't about, thank God it wasn't about ISIS, and it wasn't about any, well, thank God it wasn't about any God. You can take the call. Thank God it wasn't about any God. It was a bloke who, let's be honest, is probably unwell, who wanted to see his missus. Fair play. Someone suggested this on Twitter when it was still going on, and I retweeted it, and then I thought, oh, blimey, if it does kick off, I'm going to look bad. So I unretweeted it. But now I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to have that. The furthest you have gone to try and win back an ex. I'm not suggesting for a moment that do anything that this guy did. But, Egypt's airport security is being brought into question after a man without a bomb got on a plane. That's what happened. And then when he's on the plane, he said, oh, I've got a bomb. Right? And, of course, they then had to take that seriously. It sounds like Egypt did everything absolutely right, didn't they? Didn't they? It's very 70s hijacking a plane. It's a very old-fashioned kind of crime to commit. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. David's on the line. Good evening, David.
Ian, how you doing, mate?
My back is absolutely killing me. You talk, David. I'm just going to take a few pills. I hope you don't mind.
Well, Catherine can talk as well.
This show is going to be banging in a bit. Here we go. Well, go.
How's you? Ian, I heard you. I've heard you before on other stations as well.
I've been on other stations, and you've been listening, have you? I thought you had.
Yeah.
I thought you had, yeah. David. I could tell. Yeah. I've got Scottish blood in me. My cousin. We don't talk about sports on this station because it's boring. Oh. And boy, oh boy, we share a tiny annex of. It's not even. I'm not even going to call it an office. It's an extended cupboard. Is the talk radio office, and the rest of the floor is the talk sport. And there's just been a football match.
Yeah, but your guy in Brazil, he's that big.
Yeah, but literally every other word. But the talk sport, there's been a football match this evening, and all of the talk sport boys, led by Jason Cundy and Andy Goldstein, names that mean nothing to me, been sat there with their wangers out.
Don't get me started in goals.
Sat there with their wangers out. Hey, we got our wangers out. Hey, we're watching football. Football, football, wangers, football. Yeah, boys, 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 boys. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. And there's me reading my book of poetry. Wangers and football, the Andy Goldstein story. Anyway, David, let's get to the point.
Yes, Ian.
Yes, hello?
No, I'm still here.
Yeah, look, so what's... You've called me. So I'm guessing you've got a point.
No, just I've really enjoyed your show since I started. The interesting callers and things like that.
Well, not so far. Not tonight. Last night.
Well, last night after midnight, I want to touch on that, and hopefully the girl's okay.
I'm sure. Listen, I don't want to dwell on that too much, and I appreciate that. I've had lots of emails and lots of things and stuff like that. I am sure Emma is absolutely fine. I don't know that, but I am absolutely sure that that she made it through the night, and I'm sure that she's absolutely fine. And if she wants to call later on, she's more than welcome. I kind of just don't want to dwell on that too much.
And I'll tell you who's really good in talk radio in the morning. Julia Hartley Brewer.
She's what in the morning?
She's very good.
She's very good in the morning. Yeah. What, before she comes in and does her radio show?
No, she's good. She's good at a radio show.
What, the one she does here?
Aye.
Have you listened to it?
Aye.
Wow, flipping egg. Yes. Are you listening online or on DAB?
No, I'm on DAB.
Are you on DVD?
No, I'm on DAB.
Oh, I'm listening online. Maybe it sounds different. Maybe there's a filter on it or something. Does she shout? Listen, because I don't listen to a lot of it because I'm kind of busy then.
No, she's fine on DAB.
Does she shout on the air as much as she shouts off the air?
No.
No? Okay. Well, that's good because she's very shouty off the air.
Oh, I'll tell you what, at least you get Catherine, at least you've got Catherine helping you.
All right, steady on, fella. That sentence was emphasised incorrectly. I can tell that because you're from north of the border and she's from just south of the border, but still north to most normal people, you've got the hots for her. Is that correct?
I'm not making any further comment.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. No further comment, Milad. Well, in that case, we hand over to the jury. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call. Struggling to speak tonight, guys. It's going to be one of them. You'll find out, new listener, I get ill very often. I'm very sensitive. Very sensitive. And just a bad vibration can really knock me for six. Flipping heck, Triss is underwater. Yes, Triss!
Hello, mate. You're right.
I'm all right. Where the hell are you?
Oh, I'm on the hands-free in the car.
I went and got a new car stereo fitted because my CD player died, and I knew this gig was coming up, so I went and got a DAB radio, right? And the fella that fitted it is a young lad called Mush, right? And he's a nice lad, and he fitted it. And we had a laugh. We had a laugh while he was fitting it. A man very high on drugs came up and spoke to us and told me how he'd driven naked from Sheffield down to Slough. That's a long journey. So we were bonding.
A long journey, yeah.
The first stereo he fitted didn't work, right? And I've got a bit of clout in this particular branch of Halfords because one of the young people there remember me from the olden days, from the late 90s. So I went back and said, this don't work. He said, all right, what we'll do is we'll upgrade you for free. So he upgraded me, and now I've got one of those, the Bluetooth thing. So I've got a little microphone in the car, and if I get a phone call, the phone call comes through the speakers, and I speak into this microphone, right? And the people supposedly can hear me. It's the worst thing ever. Nobody can hear me.
Am I ruining the quality of your show, then?
No. Triss, the only person that I could accuse of doing that is myself, sir. I would never accuse any of the listeners, apart from the last two. I would never accuse any of the callers for ruining the quality of the show. Without you guys, there is no show.
Cool.
It's not technically true, but I just feel I ought to say it. What you got for us, Triss?
Worst Beach Boys song.
Oh, here we go. Well, this is the phone in of the night. Yes, away you go.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Oh, now, am I going to allow songs from the woefully poor Beach Boys Christmas album? Hang on a second. You're saying Merry Christmas. I'm just trying to find it because I listened to the album once and I hate it. You're saying that I can't find it. Merry Christmas, Santa.
I mean, it's played for about 4 months of the year in every shop you go into.
Do you mean
equally? It's his busy period. What I mean, surely he wants to forget about all the sort of Christmas celebrations. He wants to knuckle down and get some work done. It's the last person you want to wish Merry Christmas.
I tell you, I'm about to play you a song from that album that's even worse than that. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome the Beach Boys singing the Lord's Prayer? Here we go. And this is actually. Now, this bit is actually really nice, OK? Because this is really nicely done, Triss, right?
Yeah.
Actually, this is pretty stunning. But what ruins it, and I think it's this version, is Denny Wilson, the drummer, starts talking. Yeah. Here we go. As we forgive our debt. Does he? Oh. Hang on. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe I've just dreamt it. Oh, I've dreamt it. Anyway, if someone can tell me which song that Denny starts talking on at the end of. I'm sure. I thought it was the Lord's Prayer. We'll have a little look for that. Triss, you're right. It's the whole Beach Boys Christmas album is being written out of their back catalogue.
Okay.
Triss, thank you very much indeed. Talk radio. Hey, Ian. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old exile? For hi, this is Denny, and speaking for the rest of the guys, I'd like to say that it has been a great pleasure for all of us to bring you this Christmas album. We hope you will treasure it the way we do. And if you happen to be listening to this album right now,
Mike, Brian, Carl, Al, and I would like to wish every one of you a very Merry Christmas, and we hope the new year brings you as much happiness as this year has brought us. Thank you very much.
He gets it wrong. He messes it up. But he was so high on drag racing, proper drag racing, before RuPaul stuck his stroke her nose in it, that he couldn't go back and re-record it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys. So what are we talking about this evening? We're talking about the end of the world. Are you ready for it? It's coming. It's coming, guys. Are you, how ready are you? We don't even have... Here's the thing, right, in our house... We don't even have tinned food anymore. In the 70s, it was all frozen and tinned, right? I looked in my freezer the other day. There's nothing in there to eat. Frozen spinach. Frozen phyllo pastry. Frozen, like, steak, but you have to... I don't know. And mini milks. That's it. But, yeah, it's just full of stuff, but nothing that you could actually take out and put in a microwave and eat, you know? Or anything you could put in an oven, and 25 minutes later, oh, yeah, I can eat that pie now. I can have that. That's it. There's none of that stuff. And we don't have tin. We don't have tins. What's wrong with tins? What the hell is wrong with tins, Gatford?
I don't know, but I've got tins.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big lad.
We know that. That's been not disputed.
No. And I'm imagining. Hey, you used to be able to get... pies in tins, didn't you? Frey Bentos pie in a tin.
And you used to get a lot more meat in tins. You could get your corned beef in tins with a little key.
And vegetables in tins.
Yeah.
You know what it is?
Carrots in a tin.
You know what? They're not sliced carrots. You know what it is? It's.
I think it's just gone politically correct.
Yeah, the food's gone. Up yours, Jamie Olivers. Up yours, Olivers. When I was a kid, Gatford, right? And I turned out all right. And when I was a kid, yes, I was abused by a scoutmaster. That's a true story. But that to one side.
Uh-huh.
We would have... we had a sugar bowl, proper sugar bowl, right? As a treat, I was allowed to suck my finger, lick my finger, stick it in the sugar bowl and suck it off.
How were you not with the diabetes now, then?
Used to do that. Stick it in, pull it out, suck it off. That used to be a treat. Used to be a treat in the 70s. Also, used to have golden syrup... sandwiches. A sandwich with stalk SB and golden syrup. And if we were feeling, you know, precocious, we'd have a bit of sugar on there as well. We had a couple of nice cakes over Easter. And I came into the kitchen.
I've had hundreds and thousands in a sandwich.
They don't taste of anything, do they?
No, not really. Well,
I wonder.
Like a little bit, like a little burst. But
there was a gentleman. Do you remember the television programme You Bet, hosted by Matthew Kelly?
I do.
And who is the fella who kept
was
getting...
Was it Beadle?
Beadle. The guy that used to keep getting married all the time. And he kept saying, oh, this time it's it. This time it's the one. Darren Day.
Well, all right, yeah.
And they had a fella on You Bet, right? And his skill was, you'd show him a record without a label on it. He'd look at the grooves and go, yep, that's the Beatles, Day Tripper. Next one. Yep. That's hanging. No, it's not Hanging Tough. That's Tonight by the Backstreet Boys. And he used to be able to do it just by looking at the grooves. And I wonder if there is a similar skill. There are some people, right, who when they there's a word for it. When they hear music, or sometimes when they eat food, they get different sensations, bordering on orgasm. To what we get. And they can, when they hear music, synesthesia, is that the word? When they hear music, they experience colours. And when they eat food, they experience colours.
You have to take, like, acid for that.
No. This is the gift and the curse. It's the LSD experience, sans chemical come down. Avec, you've got it your whole flipping life. And I wonder if there is someone who could differentiate between the colours of hundreds and thousands with their eyes closed, just by you put a pink one on his tongue and you go...
Happens if they're colourblind in real life? How does that confuse things?
Well, I mean, then that really would be taking it to the next level. And one can only hope that we're not supposed to use this term, Gatford, but I really hope the freak shows make a comeback. I really do. Where else are those poor people going to get work?
I know why it's called the black market.
Okay.
I remember doing this at school because it's to do with World War II.
Oh. Okay, this is
where it comes from. The idea being that the black market was that gap of nothing where you could get anything. Do you remember the phrase in Dad's Army where one of them was called a spiv?
Yes. Yes. You're not talking to a six-year-old, mate. You're talking to a man who's older and more worldly wise than anybody. I'm going to end it there.
But you've not
explained why it's called the black market.
No, because the idea being that on the open market, you could get anything.
Yeah, yeah, on the black market, you could get dodgy stuff. Why is it called the black market?
Because there was an absence of legality.
Why is it called
the
black?
Void. So, the blackness, the void of legality.
Bit racist, mate?
Well, no, because...
Are you a bit racist, mate?
No, not racist.
Oasis? You're being a bit oasist, mate. We'll get onto them later.
Oh, well, are you going to talk about the fact that their song's been voted the number one?
Yes!
Oh, it's not a bad song, but it's not the best song ever written by a
British
artist.
You've still not explained why the black market... And by the way, after this, we're going to be doing the world's most disappointing... The world's most boring wars. World War II was a very boring war. Mm. Very boring war.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'd like to hear your defence of that, but we'll move on.
Well, it was boring.
Well...
All of the films about it, all of the stories about it, your story about it is boring.
Saving Private Ryan's all right.
No, boring. I'm going to correct myself. I tell you a good World War II film, Kelly's Heroes.
Battle of the Bulge.
Just steady, mate. I don't need to know about your personal life. Now, steady on, lad. I don't need to hear about your personal life.
Okay.
You've not explained why it's called the black market.
It's the absence. So you know how they say, like, black holes are the absence of anything. That's what
they didn't know about black holes in Dad's Army.
That's not true. Corporal somebody probably...
All right, here we go. When were black holes...
No, but one of them was called a spiff, which is VIPs backwards. So the spiff was an opposite of a VIP.
I didn't ask for that. I knew that. I didn't ask for the definition of...
I'm talking to the listeners.
You'll be lucky. On talk radio, you must be joking.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I knew Spiv. I didn't know Spiv, but I'm just pretending I did. But you've not answered the question. Why is it called the black market?
But I thought I had. It is the absence of
market. All right. Do you know what? There's an absence of a dog in my studio, but doesn't mean there's a black thing here.
You don't know that. Now who's being racist?
I'm cutting you off now. Because actually I was being racist. You're right there. My sister's just messaged me. I've got synesthesia. How have I only just heard about that? Hang on a second. Scratching my chin. It's a tribute to Jimmy Hill. 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number. So what are we talking about? Boring wars? The worst Beach Boys songs? Why is it called the black market? And are you prepared for the end of the world? We're only 27 minutes into the show, guys. And it has to be said, we are rattling through what can only be described as a list of nonsense, really. I tell you what, during the break, I'm going to listen to what they're doing on the other places. It'll be airport security now. Do you feel safe? Do you feel safe travelling in airplanes? Yeah, I do, because nothing happened. Nothing happened today. A bloke without a bomb got on a plane and said, I've got a bomb. And the airport staff and the airplane staff acted perfectly and got everyone off. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm not over the moon about it. I'm happy about it. I'm happy that airport security is doing the job. And they had all these terror experts and stuff. All these terror experts. I listened to a bit of LBC this morning. And Ferrari was wetting himself. He had all these terror experts on. So how would he have got a bomb through? Well, it would have been tricky to get a bomb through, but we know that Egyptians... He didn't get a bomb through! It was a bloke! It was just a bloke with a couple of wires sticking out of his shirt. That's what it was! How do you think... How do you think they got explosives through? And what does this mean for airport security? Well, it really is a tragedy that he didn't get any explosives through. It didn't happen. And as they're saying it, I'm thinking, if this fella ain't ISIS, because if he was ISIS, it would have blown up it would have blown up in the air, really. The fact that they had landed and he was making demands and then asking to see his missus, it kind of... made me think. I mean, yeah, sure, it must have been horrific for those people on there. In a way, denigrating, demeaning, both good words. What's demeaning of demeaning? The must have been an horrific experience for all those people on there. But 0844 499 1000. Paul, stay there. Come to you after this. How sure are we that Karen McGiffin's going to turn up tomorrow? You think there's a zero chance of her turning up? I don't think she's going to be on, Paul. I'm sorry, you're going to have a Carol McGiffin-shaped hole. 0844 499 1000. There's nothing wrong about that. That's a saying, a Carol McGiffin-shaped hole. That's not the actual saying, but you take the name out and you put the 0844 499 1000. I need to write these down. So, Boring Wars. We're going to write that down. Planes. I don't know what I'm going to talk about planes for. Oh, yeah. X's, getting your X back. Did they have black holes in Dad's army? And why do we call it the black market? No, Gatford was not. Gatford wanted to come on and make a point about spivs, that he knew what spivs were. But he didn't know why they call it the black market. Oh, and are you prepared for the end of the world? 0844 499 1000. We'll give you a call back. Paul's on the line. Evening, Paul.
Good evening, Ian. How are you, man?
You know, mate. It's been a long old day. We've got chicks in our house. And I'm not talking in Fonzie language. We've actually got chicks in our house.
Lot from eggs and stuff.
Yeah, we got these eggs for 10 days, right? So we kind of rent these eggs in this incubator and they hatch. Here we go, Paul. I'm like a mystery hour. I'm going to educate you in a slightly dull way, right?
That's fine.
How do you know if a chick... Don't make a rude joke, okay? Just don't make a rude joke. I'm really good at swearing around my kids, Paul. I don't do it. I do not swear around my kids, right? And once I was driving and I got cut up... And I forgot the kids were in the back of the car, right? And so I swore at this person. And my eldest went, Daddy, what does that mean? And I went, oh, I just thought I saw a male hen.
I was thinking the pub called the cock. All he used to
there we go. Thank you. There we go. I don't want any vulgar jokes, mate. This is actually educational. How do you tell if a baby chick is a boy or a girl?
You hold it up to the light. I just guessed that. I don't know, do I? I'm not a chicken expert.
I'll tell you, you're about to become a chicken expert.
Oh, sweet.
The male... What colour are chicks?
Orange, isn't there?
Yeah, not all of them. Only the males.
Yellow.
The males are yellow. And the ladies are brown.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. So you've learned that. I've seen this. Lena's just sent me a picture, right? And I'd seen this and didn't realise it was real. People were getting selfies done with the hijacker. People were getting selfies done with the hijacker. He looks like Leonard Nimoy.
If you look at his belt, though, it's not really kosher, is it?
Well, no, I mean, listen, the fellas... Listen, well done, everybody, for getting everybody off the plane, right? The fella is obviously damaged goods. I wish him well and also, you know, hope that he gets the swift justice and also the medical care that he requires, right? But this whole thing about, well, it really brings into question Egyptian airport security. No, it doesn't. The one that went off a few months ago, this doesn't. A bloke went on an aeroplane with a ticket. That's what's meant to happen.
Yeah.
Are they meant to do a psych test on everyone that goes in?
I went to Cairo and they didn't check me out, so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, I know. Anyway, what you got for us?
Right, and two things, Ian, mate. Black market is like a word, like elephant in the room. Where did that come from? Elephant in the room, you know. That's just one point.
Okay.
And the next point is sin...
Hang on a minute. Let's just go back a bit. Hang on a minute. Elephant in the room.
Elephant in the room. Where did that phrase come from,
Ian? I'm working it out, Paul. Between us, we make up 75% of an intelligent human being. I'm holding on to 65%. You've got 10%, right?
That's the elephant
in the room. So it's something that you ignore, that you don't want to talk about, right? Like, I can't think of any elephants I've ever experienced in a room.
Exactly that. But maybe.
Oh, I know the elephant in the room. I know the elephant in the room right now. And you know the elephant in the room right now.
Kath?
No, it's not Kath. No.
All right, okay. Okay.
You know, in this conversation, Paul.
Yeah.
You know what the elephant in the room is.
That would be me.
Well, no, but it would be the fact that you came and saw one of my live shows and you ruined it by being drunk.
Listen, I apologise.
No, and I'm not, right. And it's cool, and we're it's all groovy, and we're cool about that. Right, but that would be the elephant in the room.
That's cool, man. You know, I give up drinking since then as well.
Have you?
Seriously. Yeah, man.
How long have you gone without a drink?
3 weeks, hey, man.
3 weeks?
That sounded a lot.
No, it sounds like, it, I bet it feels like a lifetime. Hang on a second, there we go. Well done. No, I bet. Hey, congratulations. How are you doing it?
I just do it, mate. Deal with it and go to the gym and take my nipper out and do stuff. And I feel great, you know, every day. I feel great now.
Beautiful. But, Paul, I've got a big grin on my face.
Yeah, you've done me a favour, to be honest with you, from that night.
I'm glad somebody got something out of that night. But no, I'm teasing. Well, that's brilliant news, man. Because I, you know, well done. Let's hope that it all, you know, you keep it up if that's what you need to do. I'm dead chuffy, mate. Well done.
Cheers, brother. Cheers. And the word is.
The word is what?
Hesia, synesthesia. When you see colours.
Say it again.
Synesthesia.
Yeah, but it's not pronounced synesthesia. Synesthesia, senor. Synesthesia.
Remember, though. I don't know. That's it. That's the one.
Yeah. But does it really exist?
I don't think it. Well, personally, I don't think it does. But you know, you never know, do you? You know, it's up to different people, I suppose. Like,
someone's now tweeting me a picture of the demon headmaster, who does, yes, admittedly, look a lot like the gentleman who hijacked that aircraft. Do you remember the demon headmaster? That was proper. Kids shows. Oh, no, we're doing old kids shows. But, quickly, the demon headmaster and Chocky were proper scary. Proper scary. Kids don't get scared enough these days. That's what's going wrong with this country. And another thing that's going wrong with this country, Paul, you've got me now. I'm waking up, right? The drugs are kicking in.
Right.
This is what we were going to talk about yesterday, and I forgot to. Here's how we solve the health crisis and we help the obesity crisis, right? We switch off all escalators in the country, apart from the really, really long ones, excuse me for being London-centric, the really, really long ones on the London Underground. Apart from that, we switch off all escalators so they become...
stairs.
Thank you very much indeed. It always amazes me why, when an escalator is broken, they put a barrier either side of it so you can't use it. Because broken escalators are stairs, guys. I can work those. So, we switch off all escalators now. Boom. And if you're in a building and you're only travelling three floors or less, you cannot use the lift. You go in the lift and you have a fella in a bellboy cap sat on a stool like you used to get in the old days. I remember them having that in Debenhams, or maybe it was Selfridges. And the fella goes, right, so you're on the ground floor. The fella goes, what floor do you want? 2. Sorry, sir, you're going to have to walk. What? It's the law. Oh, yeah, they changed it. Nice. But you could cheat around it and you could go up to 4 and then walk down 2, but then you're still walking the same floors, but you've got gravity on your side. Either way, if it's 3 floors or less, Paul, you are not allowed to use the lift. That way, everyone gets fitter, everyone loses a little bit of weight, and balance is restored and Jamie Oliver can jog on. We should all jog on up the stairs. There we go.
All jog, yeah. Just one more point before I go, please, here, mate. My favourite Beach Boys song, mate. Remember this one, Ian?
I do remember this one. Let me help you out there a little bit, Paul, because I don't think you're doing it quite the way it should be done. Goes like this. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's automatic when I talk with old friends. The conversation turns to girls we knew when their hair was soft and long and the beach was the place to go. Yeah. With suntan bodies and waves and sunshine and California girls and a beautiful coastline with warmed up weather. Let's get together and do it again.
Here we go. They're not horns on the song, it's him singing it. Not like a chicken, obviously. And do it again. Here we go. With the lonely sea looks good in moonlight. Makes your night times warm and out of sight. Been so long, did it been so long, did it been so long, so long. There's five of them singing on this, okay? You try doing all five Beach Boys parts in one go, it's tough. I remember a night very drunk doing Good Vibrations with one other person on karaoke. Anyway, here we go. Now I've been thinking about all the places we surfed and danced and all the faces we missed. So let's get back together and do it again. Come and do it. Ba, 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 ba. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Lee sings The Beach Boys and Do It Again. Oh! Oh, hang on a minute. This will do. This will do. This will do. There we go. That you can never have too much sitar, ladies and gentlemen. Never have too much sitar. Except for now, actually, when you can have too much sitar. 0844 499 1000. So far, what have we spoken about? Why is it called the black market? Did they have black holes in Dad's Army's days? Boring wars. What? How far have you gone to win back an ex? Are you prepared for the forthcoming apocalypse? And I think that's pretty much it. Oh, the worst Beach Boys song of all time. Don't get me... I love the Beach Boys with a passion. My favourite bands are the ones that have had a significant number of misdirections in their career. And the Beach Boys have had some crackers, including their 12-minute disco song. Oh, which I love. Their 12-minute disco, Here Comes the Night, I think is just a joy. And everywhere, they got booed playing it. They only played it live once, and they were booed off stage. Someone went, hey, guys, you remember... this is in 1979. I go, you guys, you remember disco was big like 2 years ago? We should do a disco song. Okay. And it didn't work. Andy's on the line. Good evening, Andy.
Good evening, Ian.
What you got for us, boss?
Not a lot, mate. I was just going to phone up and talk about the getting prepared for the apocalypse.
Oh, yeah, go on. How prepared? We're talking to Steve Hart later on. If you want to look at his website, ukpreppersguide.co.uk, he is prepared for the forthcoming apocalypse.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm particularly...
Hello? Hello, Andy?
Sorry.
It sounded like the apocalypse had just come to you. What the hell's going on there, man?
I'm sitting in my van with my bloody Bluetooth coming on because...
this is the thing. One day they're going to invent mobile phones that can actually make phone calls and Bluetooths that will actually work. They just don't... They don't work. They're rubbish.
Yeah, the Bluetooth does not work. But anyway, so I'm definitely not prepared for the apocalypse in one way or another, but it's just kind of mad that people go out there and do that.
Well... This is the thing. I don't know if it is mad because there is a chance. Do I want to do fear mongering? Should I do a little bit of fear mongering?
Go on, a little bit.
All right. There was a report in the paper the other day. We don't know how true it was that some of those the ISIS fellas in Europe were looking at making a nuclear bomb or doing something nuclear. Right. If that happened, which it won't happen, But if that happened, mate, we're all done for. And it'll be people like Steve who are prepared, who've got the gas masks, who've got the bunker, who've got the 20,000 gallons of water sealed somewhere, who've got the tins of beans and peas pudding, that will be ready. And they'll survive. Why you'd want to survive after a nuclear fallout, I don't think I would. But he'll be having a right old laugh.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. It's less crazy than the UFOs and conspiracies and stuff, but... how long are you going to last, really? Don't you say you want to last?
It's survival, isn't it? We are genetically programmed. You know the lemmings. What are lemmings famous for, Andy?
Video game on the PC, falling off things.
Yeah, well, from the game, they fall off things. They jump off cliffs, and it came from a Disney documentary, where they filmed loads of lemmings falling off cliffs.
Right.
Lemmings don't jump off cliffs. Disney faked that. Did you know that? Disney herded...
Which is fireworks there if you blow them all up?
If they fell off cliffs, then there wouldn't be any lemmings. So Disney, and I don't think it was Walt Disney, I don't know if his head had been frozen in a box by that point, but the Disney Corporation herded loads of lemmings off of a cliff and filmed it. They don't jump off cliffs. Of course they don't jump off cliffs. They would be extinct.
Of course, Walt Disney's big old Illuminati games, aren't he?
He's what? Hang on a minute.
The old Illuminati scene, they seem to think he was one of the lizards.
You speak of the lizards. Hang on a second. I'm just going to try a different set of headphones. Just stay there for 1 second, because I'm having great trouble hearing the phone calls. So hang on a second. Let me plug that in. Let me just see if I can hear it a little bit better. Speaking of lizards, these headphones are much better, but they're one-legged.
I bet it's just me. I bet you still can't hear me.
Oh, no. That's so much better. But they're one-legged, which is a really stupid way of saying they're one-eared. OK, well, that's interesting. OK, I can work with that. Speaking of the Illuminati, we got David Icke coming on in a couple of weeks. Now, I don't know anything about David Icke apart from he thinks everyone's a lizard.
Yeah. He thinks the moon's hollow.
Oh.
There's a good talk on him with him on YouTube where he woke up one morning and decided that the moon was hollow. And I'm pretty sure it's for the Nazis or something like that.
You're thinking of the Daily Sport. That's the Daily Sport that thinks the moon is full of Nazis.
I'm sure that was Ike thought that one first.
It would be great help. He is coming on. There's the connection. It's there. He is coming on soon. If people know about David Icke and what he's banging on about at the moment, because I'm genuinely interested to meet the fellow, and it's not going to be a pee take, you know.
He's a properly intelligent guy.
Yeah. And I think, I suspect it's going to be a prereq, which is a little bit disappointing. But I suspect he'll come in waiting for the sucker punch to the guts, you know, the gag. There won't be a gag. If I think what he's speaking is nonsense, I will robustly question him.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything. I don't really know anything about him. So if anyone's got any tips on what I should be asking him or which way I should be taking the interview, then...
You've got a proper challenge. Like, he won't, you know, he won't back down. He fights a good fight, so...
Oh, yeah, no, it'll be interesting. I suspect, you know, I normally do quite well in these fights. I suspect that I might come off second in this battle of the wits.
You might well do this.
Yeah, I might do, and I don't mind that. A lot of people only get guests on that they know that they can beat. I probably can't beat Ike, because he knows more about it than me, so I'm looking for... I don't know, if he beats me, then he beats me. It's I'm looking forward to having my mind expanded.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Andy, anything else?
I can point you into quite a few people that know a hell of a lot too much about Ike, so I'll tweet you about that. But...
All right, nice one. Thank you, mate. There we go. 0844-499-1000. Is the phone number. These headphones are better, but they're only working in one ear. But that's interesting to know. I can actually hear what the callers are saying in these headphones. Ah, who'd have thunk? Can we get back to the old place? And do we have any contacts within the old building where I stole these headphones from and try and steal some more headphones? Can we do that? Although they're all... Anyway. Gary's on the line. Good evening, Gary.
Good evening.
What you got for us, boss?
I just, before I start, I just wanted to let you know that I was really impressed by the way you had that call about around midnight last night.
Oh, yeah.
I've had to do that myself, but to do it on the radio is even harder.
What do you mean you had to do it? You took a call from someone or you made a call like that?
Well, I've been in that situation myself.
Yeah?
I also had a psychotic episode last year.
Yeah.
So I know how she was feeling.
Yeah.
And also I've had to help a friend through that as well. You know, the same as you last night.
Yeah, turn your radio off. I can hear your radio in the background. It's going to confuse things.
Sorry, mate.
No, not at all. I've been through... I've been through what she's been through. Not exactly the same. Of course, we're all individual creatures and all our journeys are completely different, and that's groovy. But yeah, I've been at that point where... What's the point in everything, man? What's the point in it? What's the point in me even moving or getting up or, you know, or living? What's the point in breathing? You know,
and
for those who haven't been there, they, you know, and I'm doing all right. I've got a few quid in the bank. I've got beautiful children. I've got a nice house. But still, that's not what it's about. It's about, you know, some kind of spiritual or mental hole that is itchy.
That's right. Thing that I've always thought is they should teach mental health in schools.
Yeah.
It's a very grey area.
There's something in there. I wonder if they are a little bit more open about it now. Maybe they are. I don't know. I haven't been to school for... I always think I've got my finger on the pulse when it comes to school. I've got kids who are six, so I don't know what's going on there. And I haven't been to school for... It's like 25 years.
I'm 36 now coming up, so I haven't been to school for a bloody year.
Well, there you go, you see. There you go. Well, you know, I'm sure that young lady is fine, and I'm sure we'll hear from her at some point in the future. Probably won't hear from her tonight, and that's groovy, and I'm not worried about it, and... We will at some point, and thanks to everyone who sent in nice texts and emails and all of that kind of stuff about it.
I followed you this morning on Twitter. I was the one that said I didn't expect a hello from you.
Oh, this is this. Oh, hello, mate.
Hello.
I do this thing on Twitter, and I try and do it. I can't do it all the time, but if I'm sat there and I see someone who follows me, I'll say hello to them.
I didn't expect that. I sort of looked down. I thought, hang on a minute, someone's tweeted me, and I thought it was somebody else that I tweeted earlier on.
You love the 90s.
That's right.
Yeah, you. Why? The 90s sucks, man. Why do you love the 90s so much?
I could slap you right now. Do you know, I'm really annoyed about how the radio industry completely ignored the whole decade. I mean, absolute 90s is all right.
It will come back. But the thing is, it's all cyclical, right? Because it will come back. You know, for the 80s and the 90s, the 70s were a joke, right?
Right.
It's a joke. Awful music, awful fashion. Oh, and then at the end, towards the end. No, it is good. Some of it is good, some of it is rubbish. Towards the end of the 90s, the 70s became... We always like to look back. So there will be... well, there's kind of been a bit of a 90s revival with, like, Pulp getting back together and stuff like that.
And Talk Radio coming back.
Talk Radio coming back. Yeah, we're stuck in the 90s. All of these things are cyclical. The 60s has kind of pretty much always stayed in fashion.
Yeah.
The 70s and the 80s fell out of it for a bit and then they came back. The 90s will come back.
I hope so. Something else from the 90s. You mentioned him earlier on. You said you're getting David Icke on the show.
David Icke is coming. David Icke.
I don't know how to take that bloke.
How do you want to take him?
I'm not going to answer that.
What's your concern about the Ikes?
Well, there's only one thing that I'd ever agree with him on, which is when he said on Terry Wogan that people are worse than sheep. Because they keep each other in check, but sheep at least have a guard dog to do that. Do you know what I mean?
He called out Savile before anybody did.
Did he?
Yes, he did. He called out Savile years before anybody else did.
Right.
And it's for that one reason that you can't completely ignore him.
Well, I only found out about him. I went through a bit of a phase last year where I went major conspiracy theorist. I was twisting everything.
Yeah.
I went a bit obsessive, but I soon sort of gave myself a reality check. I thought, hold on a minute. You know, is there some reality here? But I look at him and I listen to him. And apart from what I mentioned earlier, the only one thing I can get him on.
Yeah.
I'm just like... David, what the F are you on about?
Well, do you know what? That'll be the first question. It's in a couple of weeks. First question, David, what the F are you on about, man? For crying out loud. Gary, there he is. Yeah, Gary, nice to talk to you, mate. I'm glad you got through.
All right, thanks a lot, mate.
Cheers, fella. Ta-ta. I can't do it all the time, but if I'm just sat there looking at my phone and I see someone's following me on Twitter, I'll say hello. I just think it's polite. Not everyone replies back, which I think is rude. How do I say your name? Kortitsas?
Kortitsas.
Kortitsas. Where are you from, Kortitsas?
Kalispera.
Ah, Tikanis?
Nay.
Oh, why? What's wrong?
Nothing, man. A bit bored. No, by the way...
Oh, sorry about that. I'm doing my best, yes.
Oh, not with your show.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Good. Yes.
That's the good part.
Yeah.
Oh, the rest of it is the boring part.
Yeah. Oh, what's going on with... What, is your life boring, dude?
Oh, where do I start? Let's not get into that.
Huh?
By Jove, I needed that.
What did you just do? What did you just do that you needed?
No, I've just called you, that's why.
Oh, there we go. What can I do to cheer you up, man?
No, nothing to cheer me up. I was going to talk about your wars.
Yes.
Now then, the Grecian wars.
Yeah.
Boring. They were boring, weren't they?
Weren't the gods involved in the Grecian wars?
All the gods.
How can you say a war that's got Zeus involved in it is boring?
Oh, do you remember Ulysses?
What, the cartoon?
Yeah.
Ulysses 31?
Yes.
Yeah, where he was travelling through space and all his friends got frozen in suspended animation.
Of course. Yeah, based on... that was a boring war.
Oh, you can... got his sass. Listen, I've got to go, man. I've got to go and do an advert break. Do you want to come back?
You don't listen to my...
No, do you want to come back to the... Do you want to come back after the adverts or not?
I thank you.
I don't know what the answer to that was. 08444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We'll take your calls in a little bit. We're talking about boring wars. How could a war that's got gods involved in it be considered a war? What the hell? Karitsas, are you going to stick around for after the news?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to destroy you.
Welcome.
Welcome indeed. Welcome one and all. If you want to listen to Karitsas being destroyed, then keep listening, please, to Talk Radio. That's the one. Evening, dear listener. Ian Lee, Talk Radio. We've got a prepper coming on at 11:30 who's ready for the apocalypse. Now, you're going, you just don't know, guys. Having seen the 10 or 11 Cloverfield Lane film this week, you just do not know what is potentially coming away. It's good, that film. It's not brilliant. It's not as good as the original Cloverfield, but it's enough good. And it's got Britain's greatest actor in there. John Goodman. John Goodman is such a good actor. I mean, he's just astonishing, and he really does make that film. It's a cracking film. Anyway, you got me some Sellotape? You right? You coming in, Kath, or you want to... Okay, you can do if you want. Yeah, sure. Or... I don't mind. I'm talking to Karitsas. Isn't that right, Karitsas?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Hello. Now, by the way, your Cloverfield... How do I call it?
Film?
Marathon.
Yeah, well...
Is it like the...
You've got to bring it back to the Greeks.
Marathon.
No, well, I did watch all 7 Police Academy films in one day. And it was like... It was a psychedelic experience.
The agent.
Sorry?
With the agent.
Which agent?
The Chris.
Oh, God, you're going back old time. Yeah. It was good. In fact, I've just texted Steve Guttenberg. I've got his phone number.
No way.
Yeah, I've just texted Mahoney to see if he'll come on the show at some point. Let me just check, see if he's replying.
Bring him on.
No,
I like him.
You're not the guy that used to phone up and talk about wearing trousers for 90 days, are you?
Certainly not.
Okay. You sure?
Of course.
Okay, all right, I'm just asking. So, right, you reckon the Grecian Wars are boring?
Well, the one particular war that Ulysses had with the in the cartoon.
Yeah.
Because he should have been destroyed because he killed the Cyclops, you know?
You're talking about Ulysses 31, the French cartoon.
That's correct.
Where a hippie was flying through space and all of his friends got put in suspended animation.
Yes,
and once every few episodes, they kind of come out of suspended animation for a second, but then they go back. And it had, what was the name of the robot?
I forget.
No.
That's it.
It's me, no, small robot, you know. Friend of Ulysses.
It reminds me of Philip Schofield.
What?
Do you remember when Philip Schofield did
the broom cupboard?
The whole song to it. You can find it on YouTube.
Anyway. Right, what do you want?
Well, no, I thought I'd drop by and say hello, but you never replied to my tweet.
I don't reply. What did you tweet me? Abuse. I only replied to the abusive ones.
I gave you congratulations on your show before it started, and I said, good luck with your show.
I ignored that one deliberately.
Oh.
That'll teach you.
Oh, that'll learn me.
Anyway, Kelly Nickta!
Oh, okay then. Bye.
He's not Greek. That man's not Greek. Otherwise, he would have spoken Greek when I spoke it. Catherine's in the studio.
Hi, yes, I am.
You're right.
Yeah.
My back's killing me.
Well, you've mentioned it.
I
want me to walk on you?
I had to lie on the floor. I had to lie and expose myself emotionally. And I was lying on the floor and doing some stretches. My back's killing me. I've got to take the boys swimming tomorrow. I'm dreading it because it's just going to be, it's going to be hard work. Daddy, let me jump on your back. Daddy's back doesn't work very well. But all the testosterone flying around Talk Sport this evening when that football match was on, flipping. They had their wangers out and they were watching the football.
When they walked past and saw you on the floor, they thought you'd taken, the missed goal very, very hard.
Yeah, no, I hadn't. I'd taken the fact that I took my dog out for a walk yesterday and it knackered my backard.
She's too small. You want to get some stilts or something?
What, for the dog?
Yeah.
Hey, can you get dog stilts?
If not, make them.
This is my thing. You know, years ago, when I used to live in a flat in North London, and we had a cat flat, but it was put in too high. So I had to make the cat some stairs out of bootleg Kiss VHS videos. I did. I had some stairs and she'd climb up it. Because otherwise she
in
could,
a cool way.
She could kind of get out without them, but it was tricky. But she just couldn't get back in. It was too big a drop. So she had these steps made out of bootleg VHS videos. It was great. It was great. And I wanted to mark it. Oh, and here's my brilliant idea. Stay there, Elizabeth. I'll come to you in a second. 08444991000. And this is a brilliant idea, right? If you've got a cat, right?
I haven't.
No, you haven't. And now my cat just lives in my bedroom because she's scared of the dog. She's not scared of the dog. She hasn't got the time of day for the dog.
So you need a cat that works still.
What? If you've got a cat that works and no other pet, you've got to leave all the doors open in the house. Otherwise, the cat like will scratch it. Get up and get the cat. I let her in last time. It's not even my cat. I don't like her.
My sister's got one of those cats. It's my nemesis.
Right.
It owns the house.
Well, this is a brilliant invention. And this is genuinely a brilliant invention. It's not me even doing a thing. This is genuinely a brilliant invention. And had I, 14 years ago, when I came up with the invention, not been so high, I would have, when I came up with it, I would have seen it through to its conclusion, and now I would not be sat in talk radio. I'd be sat probably in Los Angeles counting my dollars.
Right. So it is what?
It is. You get cat flaps on the back door, right?
Mm.
Internal cat flaps, right? No. For internal doors, right? But they are a tiny, exact replica of the door.
Like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. So some doors are quite plain. But if you've got fancy doors, you'll have like a tiny version of it in the bottom. And people go, what's that for? You go, watch this. Freckles, come on, girl. Come on. There's a good... And then the door opens and Freckles walks in going, yeah, what do you want? Just show him the cat flap door. Oh, not again. And walks off.
Here's how you make it better.
Yeah.
You attach a kind of sound thing to it so it makes a noise when they come through the door.
Yeah.
You could have a spooky haunted house noise.
Yeah.
You could have a watcher.
Yeah.
You could have a voice.
Yeah.
Or
you could have the Fonzie going, eee.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Okay, so me and you take that to market. I've made it better.
If anything, you've cheapened it.
No.
I don't necessarily.
Because you could change the messages.
Why would you want sounds? What about deaf people?
Cat's in the room.
Oil the cat. Oil her up. Here we go.
All right. Well,
some people do that, and you shouldn't joke about it. They do oil their cats up, and away they go. And that is just...
What?
Yeah, I know. It's sickening. It is sickening. Disgusting. Elizabeth's on the line. Good evening, Elizabeth. No, Elizabeth got bored, and she went.
Do you want me to go and forget her?
Is she a good call?
Well, she's a Scouser. They're usually quite good.
Oh, I like Elizabeth.
I'll go and get her.
Hang on a minute. She might be there. Elizabeth? Hello?
No.
She was there, and then she went. Elizabeth?
She's gone to market our idea.
I bet. I can hear you.
I'm here.
But you're kind of not there.
I'm always here for you, Ian.
Oh, this is only her second call, and it's already started to get...
Hey, just put some armbands on them and threw them in the shallow end.
Who?
Your kids, not the cat, I think.
Yeah.
Cats can swim. It's a myth that cats can't swim. Cats are bloody good swimmers. They just don't want you to know about it. That's the thing about cats. This is why I like cats so much. They're so, so devious and so cute with those little bows in their hair.
I don't trust them, I'm sorry.
Why don't you trust them?
They've got that snidey look about them.
Well, yeah, and?
I suppose.
At least they're honest about the fact that they're not telling you everything. They are honest about their dishonesty.
Yeah, but you can't put it on a lead and take it for... Well,
oh, you can.
Some people do.
You can.
Some people do. There is nothing... Well, no, there is one thing greater than seeing a cat out on a lead being walked. You know what that thing is?
A rabbit on a lead.
No, a ferret. People walk their ferrets.
Yeah, I know, my friend
people
had one.
Walk their ferrets, Elizabeth.
I want to get a tarantula and put that on a lead and take
it. But it should be a lead made out of spiderweb.
Yeah.
There we go. And it looked like it's invisible, right? So what you could do is you could pick it up and swing it around. It looked like a magic trick.
You can't do that.
Why?
Because that's cruel.
They shatter tarantulas. They shatter. This is why you're not allowed to drop them.
Really?
Yeah, they will. If you drop a tarantula, if you hold a tarantula like hand height, adult hand height.
Don't try this.
And then drop it. It will shatter.
My God. How do you know? Have you tried that?
Many, many times.
Did you do that on the 11 o'clock show?
No, I tell you what we did once, and it pops up on TV's bloopers, like these TV blooper shows, right? I have no idea what the thing was we were doing on the street. It wasn't about Princess Diana's DNA being injected into meat, which was one thing we did. We got people to eat ham, and they go, oh, this is nice. I go, yeah, it's been injected with Diana's DNA. Some of them loved it. The one we did, right, I can't remember what it was.
The people's ham.
It was something like that. We took another one. We took out, video nasties, right? And people, and we show them like the cover, and they go, "Oh, that's disgusting." And we go, "Well, it's just been awarded a Princess Diana's Thumbs Up Fun Award or something." This is after she died, and we put a sticker on it, and they go, "Oh yeah, no, well that's all right then, obviously, yeah, yeah." No, but anyway, I don't know what it was, but I remember I had a metal suitcase, and I had a rabbit in it, and I dropped it.
Oh my God!
That's actually a really horrific story. I wish I hadn't told that.
It is, I think a lot less of you now.
That is dark, isn't it?
It's dark.
Anyway, Elizabeth, you didn't ring up about this nonsense, did you?
No, I rang up to tell you I had a tin of rice pudding before.
Boasting.
A tin of rice pudding, Ian.
Say that again. You've never had a tin of rice pudding before?
No, I had one before. About 2 hours ago or 3 hours ago.
Now, was it ambrosia?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the best dessert you can do, right? And it's all thanks to the guys at Ambrosia who are sponsoring this show. You get the tin of rice pudding.
You sponsor my life.
Yeah. We get the tin of rice pudding, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
You get the tin of custard. You get a big bowl. You pour the ricey in. You pour the custy in. You stir it up.
No. Whoa. That's too much gloop.
Whoa, it is beautiful.
Do you have a chocolate in it? Do you have a melt like a Cadbury's twirl in it?
Oh, you dirty woman. This is awesome, Elizabeth. And you know it's great, Catherine. And you're jealous because you haven't got the culinary skills that Elizabeth...
Oh, you've seen through me.
That's clearly got.
You like semolina?
Oh, no.
I haven't had semolina since about 1982, but yeah, I like
school
that.
With a bit of jam in the middle to try and make it not disgusting, but it was always disgusting.
Why would anyone come up with a dessert called spotted dick? I know it's a real thing. It's like a sort of sponge or something, isn't it? Is that a joke though? Did they call it spotted dick because dick is penis and spotted penis is funny?
Yeah.
Sorry?
What's your language?
I'm only speaking Latin. Is that why they came? Is that what the name is? Or is it? Does it like Richard III or something? Which is rhyming slang for something even worse.
I've no idea.
Okay, well,
I don't like that, though.
Can't we just... We're just exploring language.
She doesn't like that word. That word is my 7-year-old daughter's favourite word.
Yeah, you wait till it's her favourite thing, then you've got real problems. You're a few years off that. You're being handed a note. Look, get off the air now. Ofcom, of course. Are we in trouble?
No, it's fine.
Yeah?
I've had a nice message.
From the boss?
No.
Oh, God.
No, you remember Emma from the other night?
Oh, yeah.
She's rung us up. She's all right. Beautiful. We're going to give her a ring back in a bit.
Beautiful. There we go. Do you know, for a second I had flashbacks to other places I've worked where someone brings in a note from the boss saying, move on. Move on, please.
Because we mentioned Spotted Richard.
from the dirty desserts. Elizabeth, did you just phone up to say you've had some rice pudding?
Yeah, because today I just thought of all of it.
Interrupted Scouse, and what she's saying there is she would survive the apocalypse because she's got a load of tins.
Just are you on speakerphone?
No, sorry, I think it's just my house. It's like a vacuum.
But a noise vacuum that sucks off your phone calls?
Yeah, sorry. No, all I was saying was I normally have chocolate of a night, but tonight it was like a sign. I thought, well, I'll have a tin of rice pudding. And then you started talking about tins. It was like a sign.
Yeah. So are you suggesting, Elizabeth, I'm going to cut you off soon because I'm getting bored. Are you suggesting that we are in some way evoking a curse and the apocalypse is actually coming?
Well, I don't mind, because I've got free Bentos downstairs.
Oh, yes.
Elizabeth, thank you very much indeed. We're going to speak to Steve Hart in about 12 minutes. Hey, we recorded a really good interview with Miles Hunt from The Wonder Stuff, who I had a massive row with ages ago on Twitter. But there is peace. There is peace in the valley. And the argument on Twitter was addressed. Hands were shook. And it was put to one side. He's a good talker, isn't he? I've interviewed him before. And I knew he'd be a good talker, and I do like the Wonder Stuff. Well, not massive Wonder Stuff, I mean, completely honest, but I do like them. And I did love Never Loved Elvis. And they got a new album coming out, and I could sit and talk to him all night, though. He's so interesting and funny, and, I just think he's such an interesting bloke.
We've got a few good pre-records in our back pockets, haven't we?
We've got two.
Well, and by tomorrow we'll have three.
We don't know how Graham Nash is going to go. The Graham Nash interview could be... We just don't know.
All right, well, OK, we've got Ronnie Spector.
We got Ronnie Spector.
That'll do me.
Me and Graham Nash from the Hollies and Crosby, Stills and Nash, and Crosby and Nash, although no more, because he's fallen out with David Crosby.
Oh.
Do I ask him about David Crosby?
At the end, before he can put the phone down. That's what you do.
He'll do what Peter Tucker, the Monkees, did. I'm sorry, Ian, the phone... I can't hear you. Ian. That's what Peter Tucker of the Monkees did. To me.
I know, I remember.
Of all people, I was heartbroken.
It's a smooth move, though. You should reply that next time someone asks you a difficult question.
Next time I get Peter Talk on the show, which we will, I'm going to do that to him when he's answering the question. I say, Peter, I'm sorry. Peter. I'm going to do that. Who else? Who we got on tomorrow? We got one of the zombies on tomorrow, haven't we?
Yes.
Can't remember. Is it Colin Blunstone?
Yes.
There we are. What, him coming on? We've got Jim Dale's coming on next week.
Jim Dale's coming on.
Tommy James is coming on next week. Now, everyone's going, who's Tommy James? Who's Tommy James? Let me just... Tommy James wrote... hang on a second. He wrote this. Imagine being the person that wrote this. Here we go. He wrote this, guys.
Children behave.
He wrote this.
That's what they say when
he's coming
together.
Off. He also wrote, hang on, he also wrote this. That wasn't good enough. That wasn't one classic enough. He also
That's
wrote
a belter.
This. Coming on the show next week. Jim Dale's coming on.
That'd do you, wouldn't it, if you wrote those two?
He's good. I like Tommy James. He's not that well known over here. He didn't really have many hits. The reason he didn't have many hits, and we'll get him to tell the story, is because he pulled out... He was supposed to come over and do Top of the Pops, and then his mafia manager didn't let him do it for some reason, so the BBC and Britain blacklisted him.
Oh.
So he never had another hit, which is a shame. He's so good. Go and buy Tommy James' Greatest Hits. That's your... Tommy James and the Shondells. Get a Greatest Hits. That's your homework. That's your homework, because he's flipping good. And I've just read his book. It's a fascinating story. He's coming on. Jim Dale. We've got Cass Elliott's daughter, Owen, coming on. We've got Graham Nash. We've got David Icke. I think that's...
And some other great... I can't remember, but they are
There
good.
Are a couple more. I can't think
the
of
thing
that.
Is about them, we don't have to have anyone on, so we only get people on that we love. And I've put a few feelers out as well for some other brilliant people, and I don't want to say them in case they won't come on, and it'll kind of break my heart, but at least we'll just deal with them privately. But if they come on, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't listening to what you're saying.
Viv Albertine.
Oh, Viv Albertine. Come on. Come on, Viv. Russ is on the line. Evening, Russ.
Good evening.
Good evening, Russ.
Good evening, Catherine. Is it Catherine?
Yeah, hey up.
Is it Catherine?
It is.
Is it? I never knew that. Never had the... It's that thing. Someone tweeted something very... well, I don't know if it's funny, but pertinent the other day, Russ, that fits to me. She tweets a comedy writer from the States, and she tweeted something along the lines of what people say. Hello, Catherine. This is Steve, and this is Margaret and her partner, Tony. What I hear is, hello, this is... And this is Greg, or it might not be Greg, it might be Chris, and I've got no idea who that is. I don't know people's names. I hear
or
them.
Or faces.
I've got... This is a thing. This is it, Russ. This is going to be my other money-making thing, right? I've discovered a medical condition that no one else has yet discovered and put a name to it. I have got facial dyslexia.
Well, I'm a bit like that, to be honest. Well, no, I reckon I remember faces, but...
Well, then you're nothing like it. You're the exact opposite of it. I have got facial dyslexia. I can meet people and I don't recognise them.
They all look the same to you, don't they?
I've got another one for you, which I believe my wife suffers from, which is accent deafness.
She's got what? Accent deafness?
Yeah. Is he Scottish? So no, he's... He's American or something like that.
Oh, I love that. Ladies and gentlemen, for the rest of the show, your very own medical conditions, facial blindness and accent deafness. I'm having that, Russ. I'm having that. See, when you phone up, Collins and the stuff like that, you can be a little bit dry. This is gold, mate. You want to be doing this stuff more often.
I've got a problem.
Yeah.
In that my emotions and my voice don't go together sometimes because you think I'm being sarky sometimes and I'm not.
Well...
I think I just have a sarcastic voice and I also have an impudent face. And together, they create havoc.
It was Moida. It was Moida, Russ. Accent, deafness, your own made-up medical conditions. 0844-499-1000. What are you called for, Russ? What are you eating? Are you eating nuts?
No, I was eating peanut M&Ms not long ago.
Yeah, I thought so. I can hear it. You're a bit clarty.
No, I called up about the prepping thing. Just quickly on the you're on about the calling Ian Collins a bit dry. It's quite a serious show.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It is a bit, isn't it?
Well, no, I like it, but it gets.
We're glad. Listen, Russ.
Shows get a bit heavy.
He's good. He's good. I'm glad you found us. You're welcome. Like, you're welcome to us anytime you want, buddy.
Well, I don't want to outstay my welcome to
you. You're welcome. If you had a radar diary, you could stay as long as you wanted. You don't, but you're still welcome, and we won't tell him.
That's brilliant.
We won't tell him.
I like a bit of. I'm quite enjoying your show, and it's light relief.
Sorry?
And I mean that light relief, and I mean that in a nice. Well, in fact, it could be a good sales pitch for your show.
Light relief with Ian Lee.
Yeah.
Now you don't know how I worked to get through college, but whatever it takes, buddy. Whatever. There are people out there doing that right now, and I wish them every success.
I'll be honest. I was a bit sceptical when I first listened to the show because I've not really listened to. I did hear you on one of the old talk radio incarnations in the past. I do believe.
No. You've heard of me on LBC years ago, but you know it's not everyone's cup of tea, and it's evolving. Well, it's different from what I was doing 6 months ago.
I'm enjoying it. To be fair.
Are you feeling relieved?
I am, as a matter of fact. Yeah, and the rumours, I'm not sure about the rumours of
what rumours?
What I'd heard.
Hang on a minute. What rumours had you heard?
Well, I've been hearing rumours about you fearing Mike Mendoza already.
Out loud. Oh, man alive, Mike Mendoza. He keeps tweeting me, and I must reply to her one day.
No, he's a top bloke. I mean, it's a shame you can't get him on the station.
Well, it's not back that on the old platform. Shame. Listen, Russ, I've got to move on because I want to speak to Andrea. It's good to talk to you, mate. I'm glad you found us. I really appreciate you giving us a call. Thank you very much indeed. Andrea's on the line. Yes, Andrea.
Hello.
Good evening.
I've hung up, you said about the boyfriend, exes, how to get your ex back.
The fella went on a plane today, pretending he had a bomb, hijacked a plane so he could see his ex. Well, how far have you gone to see an ex? This is actually like a proper phone-in topic now.
I wouldn't. I hated my ex.
Oh. How far would you go to never see your ex ever again?
Well, I think he got the message when I left. I stitched prawns into the hems of all the curtains.
Oh, you never.
That never actually happened.
It did, and I put cress seeds in the carpet.
Oh.
Lightly watered it and put the heating on full before I left.
Did you really do that? Or did you just see it in a Mel Gibson movie?
Nope, I've done that. I have done that.
God, you're a cow, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. he shouldn't have been in bed with my friend, should he?
Hey!
Oh,
boom.
Ladies and gentlemen.
He's lucky it was prawns and not mackerel.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
And the other thing as well, I would never be prepared for doomsday, but I would take my boyfriend's pillow with me.
What? Hang on. Why would you take your boyfriend's pillow?
Stop him using it with anyone else.
But not your boyfriend.
I haven't got a boyfriend.
What's your boyfriend pillow then? Is it a pillow with a picture of a boy on it? A man?
It's a little pillow that's a body and an arm that you can cuddle up to at night.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's not weird, is it, Andrea? I'm going back to your exes. No wonder he was in bed with someone who wasn't a fruitcake.
I admit I'm a fruitcake. I don't care.
It could have been worse. I did think when she started saying, I did think there might be other attachments on that pillow. So an arm.
There's another idea for our invention workshop.
An arm is not quite. Happy with Andrea. Nice to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. 0844-499-1000 is the telephone number. Oh, dearie, dearie me.
An arm. That's all it's got.
So put it round you. That's a little bit.
Oh,
no.
A bit needy.
That's weird. People will buy any old tat. Well, I mean, the very fact that we've got a job after what happened last time.
We are the old tat.
We are the old tat, and talk radio have bought into us and now own our souls. Sure, me for 2 years, you for just one. Which is probably the right way of doing these kind of things. Okay, well, it's starting to sound dangerously like a proper phone-in now with people phoning into the topics. I don't know how.
Is it all right if I take the last half hour of calls and put them in the podcast, or am I going to get slated for that now?
Oh, look at you lot. prosopagnosia. Prosopagnosia.
Nasty.
That's facial dyslexia.
Oh.
So I've actually got... So I'm actually medically ill. This is awesome. 0844-499-1000. Stay tuned. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to Steve Hart, who is preparing for the end of the world. Evening, Ian Lee, Talk Radio. If you want to follow me on Twitter, at Ian Lee, I-A-I-N-L-W-E, spell it properly, guys. Or if you want to go to facebook.com/Ian Lee and hang out and have so much fun with us online. It really is a happening thing. What are we talking about? Well, how far would you go to see an ex? Boring wars. Your kind of made-up conditions that you've got. We've got accent deafness and facial dyslexia. Well, it turns out that that is actually a real thing, which I kind of knew it was. I don't recognise faces. I've got a dilemma. I have no idea why I've been invited to this, right? I've been invited to a private eye lunch. I think it's next week. Private eye lunch, right? Don't read private eye unless I'm having a poo at my father-in-law's. But they've invited me to their lunch. I don't do those kind of things, partly because I don't move in a showbiz world, so I don't go to lunches and premieres and things like that. I don't do that stuff. But also because I'm incredibly shy, right? And I know doing this rubbish, but I'm incredibly shy. So the thought of going to a lunch and having to, and I thought it was going to be a buffet thing. I'd be able to go in for 10 minutes. We're trying to get Brian Wilson on the show, Joshua, who's just sent me an email. I thought it'd be a buffet thing where you could go in for 10 minutes and then you nip out and you could say, I did it. It's not. It's a proper sit down. I've been sent a menu. I've got to choose the food I want from a menu. It's a proper sit down lunch. Supposing I'm sat next to, like, I don't know, Ian Hislop and who's powerful? Lembit Opik. I mean, I've had dinner with Lembit Opik 5 nights and we did Come Dine With Me. Flipping. That was the worst week of my life, right? And I tweeted when they were repeating Come Dine With Me. They're repeating the worst week of my life. Jodie Marsh, who was also on the programme with me, tweeted me, "This is the worst week of your life? You got off lightly. The worst week of my life was when my best friend was murdered." I went, yeah, fair play, Jodie. That is actually significantly worse than me having to have dinner 5 nights in a row with some celebrity. we'll talk about all that in a bit. I'm waffling. 0844-499-1000. If you want to talk to the next guest is Steve Hart, who is running the UK Preppers Guide, ukpreppersguide.co.uk. Steve joins me now. Evening, Steve.
Hello there.
Steve, what is a prepper?
it's basically just somebody who's sort of thinking a little bit ahead of everybody else, trying to be ahead of the game and making sure that if anything were to happen, you are prepared.
Like what? What do you think? What are you expecting to happen?
Well, hopefully nothing. I mean, right. That's the idea behind it.
Yeah.
It's just, if you look around you nowadays, you'll see, you know, there's so much going on that could escalate and get worse and worse and worse. And whatever you say, you know, the good old government, they're not really there to help you. They're not going to help you. You're going to be left on your own. And it's going to be every man for himself. And those that have thought a little bit ahead are the ones that, you know, stand a higher chance of getting through it, whatever that might be.
What are you talking about? Nuclear? Terrorists, alien zombies, what are we looking at?
Could be anything. It could be anything as simple as the floods we had last year. You know, that was total chaos for a lot of people. And, you know, their whole life was, it was literally put on hold while the floods and everything took place, and people.
But it was inconvenient. The floods were inconvenient, and more than inconvenient for the people it affected. But it's not doomsday scenario, is it? It's just getting carpet, a new settee scenario, getting an insurance claim in.
That's right. But that's the thin end of the wedge, and then if you carry on up the ladder, I mean, most people, the biggest problem, the biggest fear is financial collapse. you know, I mean, America itself, who pretty much rule the world when it comes to money, I mean, they're literally trillions of dollars in debt. If they were to start to tumble and the whole world was to follow, it would be horrendous. That's one of the major things. But then you've got all the other things. You've got as well as nuclear attacks, biological attacks, terrorist attacks. You've got natural things. You know, we see tsunamis going on, earthquakes, etc. All these things have a knock-on effect. And no matter where they are in the world, they will affect us here. We saw that a few years ago with the volcanoes erupting, how it caused a little bit of chaos here. So it's just these what-ifs. That's all it is.
Zombies isn't a real thing, is it?
No.
That's not going to happen?
Well, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's very much in the Americans who seem to like zombies for some reason, and it's escalated, and it has been proven that you can put somebody into a zombie-like state. Well, just look at the government.
Ladies and gentlemen, no, yes, I'll do the jokes here. I'll do the jokes, Steve, if you don't mind.
Actually, I've got info for you.
You can put people into a zombie-like state?
Yes.
What, and then instruct them to, like, kill and stuff and eat people?
Well, you can instruct them to do tasks. Not necessarily have somebody who goes around, you know, hell-bent on just, eating other humans.
Yeah.
But I mean, even in nature, I mean, spiders and scorpions, all them, they have the neurotoxins that are capable of affecting the brain. If you've got some clever scientists, they can manufacture that, and away you go. But you're never going to get to the state where, you know, people are rising from
the dead. Well, that's good. You've put my mind at ease there. How do you prep then, Steve? What preparations have you made for, let's say, there's Russia attacks us and there's nuclear bombs and there's like Russian soldiers roaming the countryside? What preparations have you made?
Well, I mean, should that happen, you know, you're going to know, hopefully, in advance anyway. But even the simplest of things, we find people aren't prepping for. That's the problem. Myself, I know that I have a certain amount of survival skills, bushcraft skills, and the ability to live off the land. Add that to having the necessary equipment that's obviously going to help you. I probably stand a little bit better chance than most people. But then again, I might be right in the wrong place at the wrong time, and boom, I go up with everybody
else. If there's a nuclear bomb, I'm guessing you've seen Threads, have you?
No,
have you not seen Threads? Oh, mate, watch it. You'll love it. It'd be right up your street, right? And it's about what happens if a nuclear bomb falls just outside of Sheffield in the 80s and the government arm the traffic wardens and they go around shooting people. It's a good film. It terrified me when I was about 13 years old. It's awful. But if a nuclear bomb goes off, I'd rather be right underneath the nuclear bomb than survive, because you're just going to die a slow, painful, radioactive death.
Yeah, a lot of people would say that. And I'd say it to a degree, but where there's life, there's hope and things like that. But that's one scenario that you could probably say eventually you're going to get, you're going to die because of the radiation. There's other scenarios where you still have a chance of surviving after the actual event.
So what equipment have you got? I've been on your website at ukpreppersguide.co.uk, and there's loads of information and blogs and stuff that you need. I went straight to the weapons, Steve. And you bow and arrow, firearms, machete, then improvised weapons. And this is where it got interesting, mate. The human is a soft-skinned object, and as such, just about anything can cause harm and do enough damage to stop any threat. For example, taking a standard baseball bat and adding some nails would make it deadly.
Yeah.
Have you got a baseball bat with nails in?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I've got other things.
Likewise, something as small and straightforward as a ballpoint pen can become a weapon. How would you kill someone with a ballpoint pen?
The idea here is you're trying to, it's self-defense, what you've got there. It's like someone attacking you. I mean, there's lots of articles on there.
Yeah.
From articles based around, you know, martial arts theories and theories that, you know, don't be somewhere where you shouldn't be in the first place. But in this country, we had the rights to firearms taken away a long time ago.
Good.
And now we can still have, you know, semi-automatic rifles and everything, but you need to go about it legally. That's all it boils down to.
But if there's like a war or whatever, and the government bottles it and they run off to the hills or to their secret bunkers. Then law is gone. There is no law. There is no order. Anarchy reigns supreme. Anything goes.
Very likely. That's it. Very likely. And those that can get their hands on weapons or that have already got weapons are, you know, one step ahead of everybody else. Should there be real problems, you know, and it's generally accepted that there will be people who are rather unsavoury, going around, you know, doing whatever they can.
I've seen Warriors. I've seen the film Warriors, and I know it's fiction, but you know that's the anarchy in New York City when the head of the gangs got shot, and the Warriors are trying to get back to their place. It could happen, couldn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the top things that most preppers not fear, but would anticipate happening is that at the end of the day, everybody's got to survive. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's how desperate are you going to be?
Here's a good question from Paul on Twitter. Ask the prepper if he's prepared to shoot people before sharing his food.
There's a lot of... It depends on the circumstances, because someone might be coming towards you and not necessarily after your food. They might actually be coming towards you to help you, to share their food. You don't know. It depends on the circumstances, but if the bottom line is...
Please help me, mister. I've not eaten for days. Please help me, mister. I used to be on the TV. Please help me. And would you share your food with me or would you shoot me?
I would just say, I can't help you.
Please help me, mister.
I can't help you.
Help me!
Nothing to give you. Nothing to give you at all.
Help me or I'm going to kill you.
Then now a different situation.
Help me!
Because you've just now threatened... You know, you just threatened me.
I'm going to spit radioactive blood in your mouth unless you give me that food.
Well, the fact is, if it got to that stage...
You'd shoot me.
Then I would, yeah.
You would shoot me. Kill me or shoot me to maim me?
It depends where we are, for a start.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're trying to come into my home, for example...
Yeah.
That's loaded with, say, essential supplies.
I'm trying to get into... I've climbed over a fence and I'm trying to get into your back area by force.
Right.
You're going to shoot me?
Well, no, exactly. Yes. Wouldn't you? What would you do?
It's a tough... Steve, I'm going to think about that. Stay there 1 second. I've got to take a quick break. Be back in a sec. This is Ian Lee, Talk Radio, 0844 499 1000. I'm joined by Steve Hart from the UK Prepper's Guide. I'm on the website, Steve, ukpreppersguide.co.uk, and I've gone to the store section, right?
Yeah.
And there's loads of books, which is good. There's the Claris LED tactical torch. There's survival bags.
Yeah.
And then there's a really sexy woman in a really sexy see-through camouflage mini dress wearing stockings, suspenders and knee-length PVC boots. Now, Steve.
Yeah.
She's not going to survive an invasion by Russian forces, is she?
Who knows? I don't know. That's purely an image there, isn't it?
It's an image.
What is it, advertising?
It's advertising casual prepper wear for the modern prepper about time. Looking for some prepping-related casual clothes to wear around the house and beyond. I tell you what, if she goes out like that, she's going to catch a death of cold.
Yes, probably will. I know exactly what page you're talking about.
I bet you do. I bet it's perhaps the most visited page on the website, Stephen.
And it's not one of them sites either.
No, it's not one of them sites. Have you got a bunker?
No, I haven't, no.
Oh, well, mate, then how are you, you're not going to survive without a bunker.
That's debatable.
It's debatable. I mean, you think a coffin's a bunker, isn't it, to some extent? I don't feel we need a bunker. There's very few people who've got bunkers in the UK. There's actually not that many in the States. They're slightly overrated, but certainly not in the UK. We tend to work more on the theory that it's a skill thing to survive.
Not
a lock yourself away in a cupboard type of thing.
You've got to get out there and face it.
Well, you've got to actually put as much distance between you and whatever it is as possible. You know, if there's a plague in London, you don't go wandering into London. You get as far away as possible.
Like 28 days later.
Exactly. You know, so you don't stay where the problem is. You keep out of it.
We've got a couple of questions here. Jack says, can you ask Steve if he'd wear an item of clothing, tunic, socks, etc., made from human flesh? Would it ever get that far?
I don't think it would get that far, to be honest with you. As if there were a major event and the population was slowly getting less and less and less, you know, you've got plenty of clothes available, haven't you?
I suppose so. Just go and do it. You can go to like all the nice shops. You can just do a raid on it. I mean, they'll be out of fashion, but you're not going to have to pay anything, are you? Money will be gone.
Well, this is it. I mean, you could mix and match. You'd be a right trendsetter, you know? I certainly wouldn't go around skinning people for their flesh.
No. Just maybe for pleasure when you got bored. Like 20 years down the line when you were like bored and insane, you might be doing it.
Yeah, just whittling someone down.
Yeah, a bit of fun. Lino says, can you please ask your guest, how will he deal with the forthcoming robot uprising?
Oh, that is actually one of the better questions.
That's a good one.
Very, very, very good question. Yeah,
because you can't really deal with robots, can you?
No, you can't. And there's quite a few articles on the internet now about that and about AI. You know, the new form of intelligence that they're able to put into robots. I don't think I will see it in my lifetime, and I think it's a way off yet. But it is a possibility. And for future preppers, I think there's going to be something they've got to worry about.
You need like what do they call them? An EMF bomb that disables electronics and stuff? Or a big magnet to wipe its hard drive?
Yeah, I mean, that would wipe everything then.
Yeah.
You know, in everywhere. But, I mean, normally people are one step ahead of the problem, so there's normally something that will stop that. But that is a very, very realistic doomsday scenario.
Flipping heck. This is getting me very scared, Steve. We've got Jamie. Jamie's called in with a question. Jamie, you're through to Steve. Yeah. What would you like to ask him?
You're right, Steve. How you doing?
Hello there.
So have you made provisions like to grow your own food if this crisis happens? And if there's like too much radiation and all vegetation is dead, would you resort to eating people if you had to? Would you hunt humans like you would an animal?
Well, the problem there is if it's a radiation situation, then everybody's going to be contaminated, whether it's human or animal. So you're actually making the situation worse. At some point, any amount of supplies is going to run out, and you're going to be forced to hunt for food or to grow your own foods. And again, if we've got a radiation situation, you're going to have contaminated soil, which will obviously affect the food, and then it will affect you. If you're going hunting for whether it's animals or anything, that food source you've got a good chance that will be contaminated. So at that point then, you're pretty much just going to be counting your days. And that's when the only time would be having a bunker where you're away from the radiation, but you've still got to manufacture your own food.
I've got a question in, and Dean's quite a regular tweeter, so I know that he's being sensible about this.
Yeah.
And it's because you have to shorten everything for Twitter.
Yeah.
He says, would you eat a dead man's willy?
This is not sensible.
He's not very hungry.
I guess what it's a reference to cannibalism, isn't it? And I suppose if that's all that is on offer.
Yeah.
Last man standing. What'd you do?
When you get to that point, you probably find most dead bodies are decomposed anyway. So you're not going to, you know, you're not going to get much meat off of anything. I don't think I would, but you really, really don't know until the time comes. I mean, people who have been in plane crashes will tell you that, and they've eaten fellow passengers.
Steve, got final question. This is from Andrew, and then I'll let you go. Yeah. I've really enjoyed this. UKpreppersguide.co.uk is the website. Andrew puts it bluntly and simply, how long have we got until everything goes tits up?
That's the $25,000 question. Hopefully, a long, long time. Hopefully. It's a case of, you know, you prepare for the worst and you hope for the best. Simple as that.
Steve, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. You've been a good sport, mate. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm Steve Hart, if you want to go and have a look at his website, ukpreppersguide.co.uk. He's terrified the life out of me. I'm flipping terrified now. I mean, blimey. Still, it's good to know that last man standing, Jamie, come on, please, please. And I had to, I just need 30 seconds to compose myself. Can I just play this? Okay. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. And those were the questions I could read out. Dean said, is that a yes then? Oh, dearie me. Those were the questions I could... I tell you what was worrying, though. Lino's question about the how do you combat the forthcoming robot uprising? And Steve's going, well, that's the best question of the night. There's going to be a robot uprising, Id? This is terrifying.
Nice. Haven't they invented robots that can now play games? It's only a matter of time before they...
I used to have a robot dog. I had a robot dog, and it was a bit rubbish, and I sold it, and now I regret selling it. I bought it. It cost me an obscene amount of money, right?
Yep.
I just got a job on the telly. I had a job on the telly for a bit, and it was looking like I was going to have a bit of work for a couple of years. And I bought a robot dog from Japan, and I had to get drunk to order it because it cost me £1,600. It was rubbish. It was rubbish. It was rubbish. And then I sold it like 5 years later for £100. Those Japanese. Thank you, Steve. UKpreppersguide.co.uk if you want to have a look at that. I am absolutely petrified now. I'll get over it. I'm sure I'll get over it.
Sorry, we're safe here in our little box. We're fine.
Oh, yeah, because a soundproof booth in South London is going to withstand a nuclear attack.
Have you seen the size of the doors on the studio? And there are two per room.
Yeah, but that's just like double glazed. So what's that, quadruple glazed? Well, maybe we'd survive a nuclear blast. If you ever seen Threads?
No.
Oh, man alive. Threads is just the most horrific film ever. Is it written by Barry Hines, the same guy that wrote Cares? I think it might be. And I remember watching it in the 80s. You're too young to know this, Id, but in the 80s, we were seconds away from a nuclear attack constantly. We had the protect and survive and protect films or whatever they were. And they showed Threads, I'm going to guess, about 1985. So I was about 12 or 13, something like that. It is horrible. It is horrible. Nuclear bomb goes off all over England, but it's set in Sheffield, I think. It's got Rhys Dinsdale in it from Home to Roost. And, Oh, it's bleak. Oh, it's the most... And I remember having nightmares about it. And then I bought it about 6 years ago. And I watched it again going, well, it won't be as bad as... It was horrible. It was worse than I remembered it. It was... I watched it after I'd had my boys. After I had my first boy. And it was bleaker because now I'm thinking, oh, God, not only am I going to die, my children are going to die as well. Terrifying film. There we go. You can call in and talk about that. What we'll do after midnight, as we're kind of doing at the moment, but it's not necessarily set in stone. You know, the whole show is evolving and changing, and we'll mix and match as things go. We'll take calls straight to air after midnight. Don't call just yet. Save your money until after the news. The phone number, and you should have this logged into your phone by now, guys, is 0844 499 1000. Calls cost 7p per minute, plus your provider's access charge. It'll cost a lot more from mobiles. Don't blame me. I don't make the rules, for crying out loud. 0844 499 1000. What we'll do, don't call for a couple of minutes, and after the news at midnight, we shall take your call straight to air.
Talk Radio.
Thank you very much indeed. Oh, man alive. We've got another hour of this rubbish to go. We'll get Kath in the studio in a bit as well, and we'll have a look. We'll just chat. We'll just see what happens. You know, it's kind of... well, I don't want to say it's unplanned, because that sounds really... But it is literally, it's unplanned. 0844 499 1000. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. We will be taking your calls straight to air on Talk Radio after we get a little bit of the news. Oh dear, you lot are making me laugh on Twitter. At Ian Lee, if you want to, what the hell is that? That's Ian Lee, if you want to follow me, you can do 0844 499 1000. We'll take your call straight to air, and Kath will come and join me in a bit. Before that, let's speak to Emma again. Evening, Emma.
Hello.
Well, you sound better than you did yesterday.
Yeah.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm okay. Yeah. I just, there's some things that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to thank all the people, because I have seen it on Facebook, and I have seen it on Twitter, and I've seen it on your page. And I just want to say thank you for all the people that were really concerned about me.
There was a lot of them, yeah.
I know. I've seen all the texts and the messages.
Good.
Also, I did phone the Samaritans up last night.
Brilliant.
And
did it help?
Yeah.
Perfect.
And also the police came round as well.
Did they?
Yep. Because I had a nightmare and I just had to get out the flat, and I just had to get outside, and I just got really upset, and somebody called the police.
Good for them.
And the police had a chat with me, and they came into the house, so, well, the flat. So, and they were okay as well.
Brilliant.
I just want to say thank you.
What a busy night you had, Emma.
I know.
It's a busy night. Not a perfect one, but a busy one. And you got through it like I knew you would.
I know. But I just also want to say, and I know you're not going to like it, but I just want to say thank you to you as well.
I'm learning to take compliments, and I accept that. I'm glad you're alive, Emma, and I mean that. I'm really glad you're alive.
Yeah, and I know that people have been concerned, so.
Brilliant. All right, love.
Thank you.
Thanks for getting back in touch, yeah?
All right.
We'll speak again soon.
We'll speak soon.
We will do, yeah. Take care of yourself.
All right, then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There we go. A long way to go, but a lot better than 24 hours ago, so that's good news. 0844 499 1000. Let's go to line one. You're on the wireless. Turn your radio off. Flipping it, what's going on there? Turn your radio off.
Here we go, are you all ready?
Children of earth, your time has just begun. Searching for your way, through adventure every day. With a conquering light, with all your friends in tow, search for the seed of
hope. It's a bit high, I think.
What the hell is this? Okay, thank you, caller. And that's kind of how it works. Normally when you phone up this show or any other radio show, or any of the other show on Talk Radio or any of the other stations, you phone up and you'll speak to the producer or the tech op, and they'll go, hi, yes, what's your name? What would you like to say to that? Okay, we'll give a call back, and then they'll call you back and put you through. But don't do that. At the moment, for the last hour of this show, I've got the switchboard in front of me. It's 12 lines. I see one line light up, and I touch it, and I put you straight through to air. That's how it works. And you can do pretty much anything. You can have a good go at it, actually, because I've got a 7-second delay. So you can do pretty much anything. And if it's not quite up to scratch, then I can dump it. So 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. 0844 499 1000. Calls cost 7 pence per minute plus your provider's access charge. Now, there's a thing in the well, I don't want that. No, I will do this. Oh, hang on a second. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's an absolute pleasure.
I've got a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
I'm at university and I'm trying to change my bed cover. Now, I don't know if you know any tricks how to change the duvet cover for the bed.
Do you know that I do know a trick on how to change the duvet cover on your bed?
I didn't, and this is great news. I've been struggling with it.
Is this like your first time away from home?
Well, I've been here 2 years, but I decided that now's the time to change the duvet cover.
Do you know what? You're right. You're right. What's your name, fella?
Elliot.
You're right, Elliot, because, yeah, at 2 years, I think, I mean, you're probably jumping the gun a little bit. Yeah, what you do is you turn... I learnt this from Neris Hughes on a TV programme called Bizarre in the 80s, daytime TV programme.
Right.
You turn the duvet cover inside out.
Yeah.
Right, so you've got it inside out.
Right, hang on. Right. It's inside out now.
Yeah.
Right.
Then you put your hands inside, and with one hand...
You winded me up, hey!
Come on, dude, honestly. So you put your hands in, right? And you grab the far left corner with your left hand. You grab the far right corner with your right hand, yeah?
Yeah.
Then you get the duvet in front of you. And again, with the left hand that's holding the far left corner of the inside-out duvet cover, you grab the near left corner of the duvet. And with the right hand, you grab the near right hand corner of the duvet. So you're holding the duvet cover and then holding the duvet. You see where this is going?
Yeah.
Then you shake it. Shake it.
Oh.
Yeah?
Oh, how
does
that work?
Yeah, it's like duvet magic.
Wow. Do you know, when I was like, waiting for the call, just had a thought about the most boring war.
Oh, yeah, go on, here we go.
It's the Boer War.
Please. Oh, Elliot, you may be street dumb, but boy oh boy, you're smarter than anybody working on this show right now. Of course,
there we go.
It's the Boer War, Elliot. You're a genius. Thank you, mate.
Thank you.
Cheers, fella. Ta-ta. Of course, it's the Boer War. Oh, line six, you're on the wireless. Hello. I don't know what's going on. That number's had a few problems. Let's try line two. You're on the wireless. Line two? Now that line's going to... Hang on a minute. Let me just try there. If I put you there, and then I put you there. Line three, you're on the wireless. No, the phone seems to have gone to cock. I'm going to try this one more time. Hang on. Line two, you're on the wireless there? No. Nothing happening? OK, they seem to have gone to cock. I don't know why. Let's just see if another call comes through and we will see what happens. 0844 499 1. I've done entire phone-in shows where the phones haven't worked before. I think we may be about to do the last hour in that same thing. Yes, line one. Isn't that funny? Line one. Let me just try you there one more time. Line one. No. Let me just try this one. Hang on. Line two. Oh, I can hear you, line two.
I spy with my little eye something beginning with ILKTAOR.
I spy with my little ILKTAOR. Do you reckon that? Right, it's Ian Lee, because he plays. This is Vince Vaughn. Playlist of Vince Vaughn online. Ian Lee. ILKTAOR. Ian Lee, killing time on radio. So, flipping it. Hang on a second. Yes, line two.
I was a big sausage, love.
Thank you very much indeed. This is why I love
Bay
it. Because these are some of the sensible callers are now going a bit wild. Did you hear Elliot's excitement that I managed to... I taught him how to put a duvet cover on.
It was a beautiful moment.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he's right, the Boer War.
The Boer War.
Boring Wars.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, you've got to love that. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian, it's Karen here.
Hello, Karen.
No, Alan.
Sorry, Alan.
Yeah, how are you, mate?
Really hungry. I've not got my body clock yet attuned to... Would you eat a dead man's penis? Sounds like you're eating one now. I can't laugh too much because it hurts my back.
Well, what happened to your back, Ian?
I went for a walk. Don't look at me, Cass, because it's making me laugh.
I'm going to go because I think you can handle this.
Are you busy?
I was, yeah. Go on, I just came in to rescue, but I think you're back on track after that comment.
Yeah, go on. I took the dog for a walk, Alan, and I put my back out.
Were you on a treadmill when it happened?
No, I just went for a walk. I came back and I felt a bit stiff, steady. So I sat down and then I couldn't get back up and my back had gone.
You ought to get some deep heat on the pain.
Would you put it there?
Muscles.
Would you rub it in for me?
Why not get Fandango to do it?
Okay, well, I need a firm hand.
Well, maybe the Demon Headmaster can do that.
There we go indeed. Alan, have you anything you want to say or should I just cut you off?
No, I've got
a bit of audio. I cut him off. He'll call back. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hello,
Dirty Dennis.
Right now then, yes. Eating somebody's penis.
Oh, steady on. Let's not dwell on that too much, but yes.
All right. Well, in the tripe industry, they have a thing called a wizen, which is obviously the animal's penis.
Oh, what?
However, that wasn't what I was talking about.
Turn your radio off then.
Sorry.
You
no.
Will be.
Survival.
The Bible.
Survival.
Yes.
I've got a Swiss Army knife, which has a thing for pulling stones out of horses' hooves.
Always very useful.
It's also the screwdriver to unscrew these robots.
Beautiful.
And I've actually
unscrew these robots. Yeah. It's making me laugh.
Dropped the bomb in Japan. I went to that place there in Japan. Sent it, and there was a chap there, a priest. He was doing something. Anyway, he gave me a piece of tile, which he said had been on the roof of the monastery where he lived, when the bomb had hit right overhead.
Oh, yeah.
Flandy.
Yeah.
Now, I carried that piece of stone around in my pocket for years, and I wondered why, when I went for a pee, it glowed green in the dark.
Yes.
So I brought it back to England and gave it to the
business
warden.
Yeah.
It was smashing. But no, honestly, this survival business... I'm surviving as long as I can. So
when's the birthday, Den? When am I going to get 10 quid?
The 29th of May.
Yeah, you're not going to make it, buddy. And
my old lady, she's 2 months older, younger than me.
Oh, she'll make it. And when you do go, Dennis, she will live years longer. Because that stress will be gone.
But she's hidden the bloody key and I can't wind her up anymore.
Dennis, always good to talk to you, mate. 0844 499 1000. Oh, wait, I'm still laughing about that question from Dean. Would you eat a dead man's wasser? I had to tone it down slightly for broadcast. It was very rude. 0844 499 1000, Ian Lee, Talk Radio, taking your call straight to air. It works like this. I touch the screen and go, line two, you're on the wireless.
Warriors come out to play.
It's interesting. Thank you. I did reference the film Warriors when talking to Steve. It's set in, I believe, in 1970s New York, and all the different gangs, including the Warriors, I'm going to say it, the Lezzers, and there's loads of these different gangs, and they all get called to a summit of gangs. And the boss man gets killed, and then they think the Warriors did it, and there's anarchy. And that could happen here in the United Kingdom. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Yeah, Ian, how you doing?
I'm all right, fella. What you got for us?
Well, I've got a bit of a dilemma. I've just got in, and I don't know what to eat. I've got two choices. I was wondering if you could help me out.
Of course I can, any time. What you got? What are the options?
Well, I've got one of those Chicago Town four cheese pizzas.
Just stop there for a second, right?
Right.
The four cheese pizza, I think... is the king of all pizzas. Forget, I mean, that Hawaiian thing, that is out straight away. But pineapple on pizza, no thank you. And the pepperoni, it's never, you know, the four cheeses. I mean, that's a good, and what is it, Chicago Town one?
Yeah, Yeah, so it looks like that's going to be the winner already.
Good. Well, I don't know. Maybe you can try. I don't know what option two is. Let's hear option two.
Option two is a chicken tikka masala ready meal.
Bye-bye. Get that Chicago Town. Whack it in the oven, mate. It's going to take you a little while, but boy, oh boy, it's going to taste absolutely gorgeous when you get it. Enjoy.
Will do. Cheers.
Thank you, buddy. Anytime. Anytime at all. Line six, you're on the wireless. No, flip it. Yes, Al, Alan, what a lovely surprise.
I've got a theory about the podcast.
You've got what?
I've got an idea for the podcast.
Oh, yeah, go on. We need ideas for the podcast.
You should have the call straight to air for the podcast.
Well, if they were any good, then I might do it.
But you should have a warning saying this podcast might contain some naughty language.
Yeah. Well, but it hasn't contained any naughty language, has it?
Well, talking about the sausage.
Yeah, let's leave the sausage out of this, please.
Sorry.
Do you want to take Alan? Do you want to take a call straight to air?
Yes, please.
Go on then. You know what to say.
Line four, you're on the wireless.
Oh, hang on. Say it again.
Line four, you're on the wireless.
Oh, they hung up. They didn't like the look of you, Alan.
Okay, we'll try line five, you're on the wireless.
Hang on, say it again.
Line five, you're on the wireless. Is anyone on line five?
I spy with my little eye something beginning with ILKTAOR. I spy with my little eye something beginning with ILKTAOR.
Have you got any ideas, Ian?
I haven't got any ideas. Maybe line six has got some ideas, Alan.
Line six, what have you got for us?
Hello. Shadwell, yeah? People say to me, go for it. I went for it. It had gone.
Very quickly, man. Line seven, you're the wireless.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a man so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. I might fall from a tall building. I might roll a brand new car. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuntman that made Redford such a star. Spent much time in school, but I taught ladies plenty. It's true, I hire my body out for pay. Hey, hey, I've gotten burned over Cheryl Teagues, blown up for Rocky Welch. But when I wind up in the hay, it's only hay. Hey, hey, I might jump an open drawbridge or Tarzan from a vine. 'Cause I'm the unknown stuff. Makes Eastwood look so fine.
Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian, it's Dominic from Manchester.
Hello, mate, how you doing?
I'm all right. Two things, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm 40 years old. I've never slept on my front. I heard you mention it before.
You've never what?
Never slept on my front. I'm always on the side or on my back. Is
yeah.
That weird, or is that...
No, I can't sleep on my back. The very few times I've slept on my back, I have the most amazing dreams. But I can't do it. I tend to sleep on my side with my face kind of pushed into the pillow a little bit.
Sort of fetal position.
Yeah, kind of a fetal position. Yeah. I'll give you that. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Probably explains a lot. The other thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
The other thing that,
yeah,
I'm, like I said, I'm 40 years old.
You keep showing off about your age. I'm 42. I'm older than you. Now, if we were at school and I was seven and you were five, that would be like, whoa, you're seven. I'm only five. Now it's like, yeah, you're 42. I'm 40. I've got a few more years left on this earth than you have, old man.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. Never mind.
Up until about 6 months ago, how can I describe this? I've always stood up after I've done a number two to do what you need to do.
Okay, to wipe, yeah. Okay, we're talking about wiping our bottoms. Something everybody has to do, although the Queen apparently has someone that does it for her, but we never discuss it enough. We don't discuss it enough. We're embarrassed. It's the final taboo. The final taboo exactly. is doing a poo.
And while I'm on the radio is the man who's going to expose it, as it were.
Yeah.
My question is, up until 6 months ago, I found out through some sort of discussion that what I was doing by standing up was weird.
It's perverted, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's right. You're a deviant. You're a deviant, and that's fine.
I'm not denying.
Yeah.
6 months ago, I started doing it sitting down, and all of a sudden I've got a farmer's. What's that about?
don't talk to me about farmers, young man. I have been to hell and back with my downstairs department. It really has been a very rocky ride. I've been at touch wood. I've been all right the last few years. Mate, it's age.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's age. I don't think it's to do with your wiping detail.
In that case, I'll cancel that email. I was just about to send to Andrex. All right.
Thank you very much indeed. Ta-ta. I wish you the very best of luck with that. It's smutty and it's slightly naughty and... all of that, but it's the kind of things that we don't discuss enough. Things they should teach at school are death. They should teach about death, mental health issues, and laboratorial procedures, of course. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. So it turns out the 5 second rule is a myth. Yeah, only if you're interested in hygiene and stuff. I go for the 25 second rule. This is by Jim Norton. I don't know. I'm always intrigued as to why people would write this stuff. This is surely just filler. Well, it certainly is in terms of the show and kind of in terms of the newspaper as well. 0844 499 1000. There are few things more frustrating than watching a tasty morsel slip through your fingers. So most of us would admit to living by the 5 second rule, judging that it is safe to pick up and eat food that has only touched the floor momentarily. Now, we all know that that's not true, right? We all know that the floor is filthy. I once scraped some yogurt out of the sink. This is true. Some yogurt fell in the sink, and I scraped it out of the sink. And I was careful not to eat the yogurt that had touched the metal of the sink, but the stuff that it was a big tub of yogurt, and it all fell in the sink. Oh, I'm not having that. So I scraped out some of it and put it in a bowl, and I tweeted that. And Lisa Faulkner, who is an excellent actress and also a brilliant cook and a thoroughly delightful young lady, tweeted me immediately, "Ian, do not eat that. There are more germs in your sink, your kitchen sink, than there are in your lavatory."
Ugh.
And I thought, I'm not going to be told what to do. So I ate it. And I wasn't violently ill. I had a slightly upset stomach, but I wasn't violently ill. And I had the yogurt. So in many ways, I'm better than Lisa Faulkner.
But have you done it again? You've never eaten anything out of the sink again?
I had a sausage. I had a sausage that fallen in the sink. I mean, the sink is... I mean, how dirty can a sink be, really?
See, my theory is if you drop it, you just pick it up and rinse it off and it should be fine.
Rinse it off?
You obviously can't do it with the yogurt, but if you, dropped a sausage in the sink, you just rinse it off a little bit.
Well, I wouldn't rinse it off. I would shake it. I would blow it. Yeah, that'd be all right. I might even give it to the kids and swap one of the kids' ones for mine. I might actually do that. Researchers have claimed the age-old convention is a myth. And warned, here we go, and warned that more than a third of us are putting ourselves at risk of contracting a silent killer by eating food we have dropped. Right, how many people listening to this show have actually died because they've eaten food they dropped on the floor? Let's ask line one. Line one?
Hello, dear.
Is that Mrs. Doubtfire?
Oh, that's right, dear. You vaginaire doubtfire, dear.
Yeah. Hello, Mrs. Doubtfire.
How are you this evening?
I can keep this up longer than I think you can.
Do you know, dear, I can hip-hop, bebop and yo-yo, make myself a mean cup of cocoa.
I haven't seen the film Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh.
Is that a line? Is that a line from it?
Aye, dear, that's right. I'm melting like a snow cone in Phoenix, dear.
Okay, well, that's thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's I appreciate the thing. We'll go to the break in a second. Let me just do this. Line two, you're on the wireless. Hello? Well, is it funny? It seems to be numbers that have called in before that we're struggling with. Let me just move it over there. Line two? Nope, I'll tell you, we'll have the break now.
Hey, Ian, what's
I don't know. They foisted it on me. They know I don't like it. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. Call's going straight to air. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian. Now, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yo! And the first person to say that on the brand-new station that is Talk Radio, ladies and gentlemen, excellent work. You've just got yourself 5 house points.
Thank you. Well, I thought I'd call up because I noticed you were. I noticed last night when you were going through the papers, I was quite enjoying it, but you seemed to be implicating that you were struggling. And so,
well, you know, I've been struggling. I've been struggling in the great scheme of things. I'm enjoying. Right, fair play. This show gets more callers than any of the other shows put together, and I don't know why. And I really appreciate it, and I'm so grateful because for me, you know, talk speech radio is about you lot phoning in. So I'm so grateful people are phoning in. I've got a few theories as to why they're not phoning into the other shows, and I suspect that won't be a permanent fixture. But also, I'm quite happy. I think if you can't sit in a radio studio on your own for 3 hours with a batch of newspapers, and if you can't put a show together like that, you shouldn't be doing this job. So, yeah, it was hard work yesterday, but that's when I get paid. I'm not getting paid for this bit. I get paid for the bit when no one's calling in, and I've got to make it entertaining. But go on, yeah.
Can you imagine if someone sat in a studio for 3 hours each morning, flicking through the papers and making bitchy comments? That'd be an awful show.
And saying untrue things about people on their show and then blocking them on Twitter, that would be awful, wouldn't that be awful? I can't think of anything.
Being xenophobic or racist and...
I've got an idea exactly where to shove that 4 a.m. spike. Anyway, yes!
Well, yeah, I've not really got much to say. I've listened to you for years, but never called up because I don't think I'm witty enough to join in the conversation. But...
Well, you've heard some of the idiots we've had calling in. What's your name, fella?
Ian.
Ian, you've heard some of the idiots we've had calling up, so, you know, that, I mean, you've already proved far more entertaining than about 65% of them. So I think for a first call, mate, you're doing brilliantly.
Ah, good stuff. Good to hear.
Good. All right, listen. Call again. Don't. Don't be a stranger. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hey, it's Habishri here.
Hey, man, how you doing?
No bad. You were talking about cats earlier, and I thought I would any excuse to talk about cats.
Yeah, go.
Well, you were talking about indoor cat flaps.
Yeah, indoor cat flaps.
If that's not a euphemism, then I don't know what it is.
Indoor cat flaps that you'd put into that, but they would be miniature versions of the door from which they are placed within.
That is a great idea.
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea.
It doesn't look great, does it? The sort of plasticky.
No, it's
thing.
Horrible.
But I surprised the local pet shop. I've only had my cats for 2 months, and before I got them, I was like anticipating, okay, I'm gonna need a cat flap there, So I got 3 cat flaps. And I haven't installed them yet because I don't know how to...
This is the thing that makes me furious, right? You can buy cat flaps anywhere. Not anywhere. Like in DIY shops and pet shops, right? How the flipping hell do you fit a cat flap? It's ridiculous.
I'm not going to take a saw to my own door.
Of course
I mean,
you're not. It's insane. When we moved house, anyway, we had to get a man come because we had like sort of double glazed, I guess we call them French doors. We used to call them in the old days. I don't know what we call them now. And we had to pay a man 150 quid to come and take our door away for 2 days, and then no, he had to build a new door. He had to build a new door that was an exact replica of that door with a cat flap in it. Mm-hmm. And he muffed. It took him two attempts. He muffed it up. He was a professional cat flap fitter.
That sounds like an advert that I remember from
something
years
like it.
Ago.
Yes.
And well, so I got the three cat flaps, and I'm definitely going to put one in the bathroom because they need to get in to go to the toilet.
Yep, of course.
But actually, having now got them here, they're so crazy when I try to go to bed that I now close my bedroom door because they just fight beside my head.
my old Velvet is the life. I said the other day that I've actually heard her pee because she kind of just stays in my room, and we've got a bathroom connecting to it. I believe an ensuite, and but the litter tray is in there, and I can hear her peeing. It's the most disconcerting noise.
I've seen a wasp taking a poopy.
Shut the hell up! You've seen a wasp doing a poo?
Yeah.
No.
I was lazing on my balcony in the south of France in a former life. And I was sitting there this wasp came and sort of landed on something beside me. And I looked, and it kind of squeezed, just like you would imagine it would. It kind of squeezed itself, and a little thing dropped out of the back. And I was like, oh, I didn't know wasps did poo.
You know wasp poo is worth an absolute fortune.
Well, that's why I can afford the lifestyle of luxury that I have now.
Exactly. I hope you put that in a tiny little Rizla paper. Or a little plastic bag, because that stuff is worth more than... I'm thinking of whale vomit. Whale vomit is the most... This is true, is the most... Did you know this, Line 1? Whale vomit is the most expensive material on the planet.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Ian.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. I didn't get to finish my call earlier.
Oh, go on then, go on.
Yeah... Do you watch the Right Stuff?
No.
By any chance?
No.
No. It's a good show. It's a good show. I enjoy it. But you being a media lover and all that, can you fill me in on what the crack is with the audience?
Yeah, I can tell you exactly, because I've done it. And I used to present a TV programme called Rise in that studio for a year. I know exactly where that studio is, and I've been on The Right Stuff, and I love Matthew Wright. They don't pay enough for the amount of work they want you to do. The audience are people that are regulars, and it gets filled out with people that go shopping in that shopping centre, Whiteley Shopping Centre in... where is it? It's near Kensington or something, in West London. So, they're kind of regulars.
It's the same misfits every week, and they're like clapping like possessed sea lions. Yeah. Just, I don't know. I suppose you could say the same about radio shows. It's the same.
Well, yeah.
Possessed callers.
Yeah, exactly. That's but the Right. I mean, the Right Stuff. It's a little bit. I mean, Matthew Wright's a nice guy, but why would you want to watch that?
I love it. I work nights, and sometimes I can't sleep because I like to stay up and watch it.
Well, that stuff would definitely. Send you to sleep. Line 2, you're on the wireless. No, again, it comes and goes, doesn't it? I don't know why that is. Let me just do this and then try this and go. Line 2, you're on the wireless. No, that one's not working. Line 3, you're on the wireless. No, and then they go dead. Why is it doing that? Can we send an email to someone that this is happening, and can you describe the fault, please?
I can do.
Thank you, because, you know, it would be great... to have a phone-in show where the phone system, I don't know, worked? Call me old-fashioned. It would be really useful. And I know we're the only show that's noticed it, because we're the only show that gets any phone calls. Researchers have claimed the age-old convention is a myth and warned that more than a third of us are putting ourselves at risk of contracting a silent killer. Silent but violent. By eating food we have dropped. They said that harmful household bugs such as E. coli and Salmonella stick to food in an instant, meaning, and this is where it gets ridiculous, meaning food. Line 1, are you there? Oh, man alive. How am I supposed to do a phone-in show with the phones? Line 2, are you there? Am I doing something? No. Okay.
Brian looks fine to me. I'll try something here.
Okay,
over my end.
You try something there. Line one, you're on the wireless? No, the phones have gone to cock. Imagine having a phone-in radio station where the phones were, you know, random. Because that's what we've got. Ed, can you put Kath's mic up? Maybe?
Hello.
Because that's what we've got. Line one? Isn't that... And then that works, you see.
Beautiful.
But no, I don't think you did anything. What did you do?
I took control on my side.
But did I put that call through?
It's there because you pressed the button, but I've got it on going through my desk.
Well, that's no good.
I know.
I'll have a word tomorrow.
Oh, flipping heck. Yes, I'm one.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
You all right, mate?
I'm getting peed off with a crappy studio that doesn't work, but apart from that, I'm having a great time, yeah.
Yeah, so am I. I've been listening to your background music, waiting to come online for ages.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I have. Past 20 minutes.
No, you haven't.
More boring than...
No, you haven't. You've been on the line for 42 seconds.
No, trust me, mate.
Okay, well, there you go. Maybe you have, because the phone system don't work. Anyway, what do you want?
Just fancy to chat. Talk radio and that.
Okay, go on then.
Yeah, well, my dad is saying this great joke about...
Oh, don't do jokes. No, don't do jokes. No.
I know.
No,
I disagree, but...
No, don't phone up and do jokes. No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well...
This is awkward, isn't it?
I'll tell you what.
Give us a call again when you've got something to say. How about that? Does that sound fair?
No, I have got something to say.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed. Give me control back. That's why I need control of it, because you get that. Have I got control? Let's see if this works. Line two, you're on the wireless.
All of which makes me anxious. Yeah, I've got to go. Mum's coming.
That's two phone calls combined into one. Yes, line one.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
It's Rosie.
Hello.
Hello.
Ed, you've got to give me control, dude.
Hello.
Yep.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I'll tell you what we're going to do.
We're
not going to have any more phone calls for the rest of the night until we get the phone system working. How can I do a phone-in show with a phone system
that
doesn't work?
So it just happened all of a sudden?
It's been happening on and off the last few nights.
Yeah.
But we kind of got into a rut there. Line one, you're on, you see? Line one. Line one.
I can hear.
Okay, that's someone who's, I think someone's crying again. We had a lot of crying last night, so we'll...
It's a shame, isn't
it? Not the crying on the head, inappropriate phrase there. Line, and then it goes again. Line one.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right. Imagine building a studio for a phone station where the phones don't work. Imagine that.
I'm sensing your chi, so let's breathe in and out. There we go.
Thank you, buddy. That's exactly what I needed.
Did you get me card?
No, I've not had any mail since I've been here.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where the post would go.
I'm really worried that's in some hands now, and I'm going to get a phone call.
Oh dear.
what have you done, Rob?
It's a surprise. Though. It's a surprise. Catherine, you're there.
Yeah, I am.
Where would our post get sent to?
It just gets put on the desk, one of the desks in that.
Johnny Seifert's got it then.
I found one of Julia Hartley Brewer's letters earlier on.
Oh really? What did Julia Hartley?
Well, it said private confidential, so I didn't open it.
Okay. Oh, you should have opened
it. I was tempted though.
Don't open it, she'll shout.
I know.
Even if you didn't open it, she'd shout. Whatever you do, she's going to shout.
Oh, might as well open it then.
Exactly.
Anyway, yes, Rob, go on.
Catherine.
Yes.
Obviously, there's been a bit of tension between us since the book incident.
What book incident?
The 50 Shades of Grey thing, which I think, obviously...
Oh, that was you.
I've got questions that need answering.
Right.
And so... I text my mate Vernon today, and he's come up with some ideas.
Leave poor Vernon alone.
We'll go to a hotel. You'd have to wear a disguise, and we can talk. That'd be it. Just talk. Nothing else.
Do you know what? I wish the phone still didn't work. I have never seen, and I will never watch it, Watership Down.
Oh, I have.
It was on over Easter. Mm. I remember my sister seeing it. She must have been, she went to Jackie Pullman's house. How do I remember that? Because they had a CB. Oh. Jackie Pullman's brother had a CB. And she went to Jackie Pullman's house and watched Watership Down, and she came home in floods of tears. She was like about nine or something.
It's a really dark film.
Well, all of Twitter, it was on Channel 5 over Easter, and all of Twitter, including, mainly spearheaded by Daft Limmy, who is a brilliant Scottish comedian who's hopefully coming on at some point over the summer, was going that this is outrageous. You can't show it. As he calls them, to the Weans.
You can't?
You can't show, and it's...
To the Weans?
The Weans.
All right.
I've not seen it. Have you seen it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it, do all the rabbits get shot?
They have a big fight and they all end up like, bleh. And then there's some ghost rabbits and stuff. I don't remember it. I just remember it being really disturbing.
It's all because of Bright Eyes.
Yeah, but there's a horror, you know, there's horrible, it's horrible. It's a horrible
while
film.
While children were enjoying chocolate eggs delivered by the Easter Bunny, a film about rabbits might have seemed perfect afternoon viewing. But it seems Channel 5 had forgotten how violent Watership Down really is, leaving many parents horrified at its decision to air the animated film at 2:25 on Easter Sunday.
Well, hang on a minute.
The film shows the cute characters being poisoned and ambushed by murderous rivals in their struggle to start a new life. One bloody scene, no need to swear, depicts rabbits fighting to the death and another bunny choking on a snare.
Yeah. But parents shouldn't be surprised. We were all subjected to it as kids. We should know better.
One father tweeted Channel 5. This is where they get all news stories come from, Twitter these days.
Yeah.
Right. One father tweeted Channel 5 to tell them the film had put his child off her food, saying, Channel 5 TV, thanks for Watership Down. My three-year-old won't eat her dinner now. You can't blame Channel 5 for that.
Plus, you know what? It's quite a boring cartoon. I don't believe a three-year-old would have sat through it.
It's one of those, there's a lot of 70s cartoons that are pony.
Yeah, like the Lord of the Rings
one. Where it's like really lazy, slack animation.
Dull colours.
Yeah, the Perishers.
Yeah,
it's boring. Like, it's basically, it's the Perishers.
With more blood.
With more blood. And it's just, those. You know the Beatles were going to make Lord of the Rings?
Oh, that would have been...
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I think... Ringo was going to be Bilbo in Lord of the Rings, or he's in The Hobbit.
Lord of the Rings is Frodo, Bilbo's The Hobbit, yeah.
He was going to be Frodo. Frodo. Then. He was going to be Frodo. That I would have watched.
Yeah, it would have been psychedelic.
Rubbish. Psychedelic, man. Although their most psychedelic film, A Magical Mystery Tour, is surprisingly unwatchable. Although I was it's a terrible film, a really awful film. And you watch McCartney being interviewed. Well, you know, I've heard that Steven Spielberg really likes it. You know, yeah, it's rubbish, Paul.
He was being nice.
Just accept it's rubbish. I was threatened with a kneecapping by one of the stars of A Magical Mystery Tour. I've told you this.
Yeah.
Little Legs.
Yeah.
There's a wee fella in it. I don't know what we call them these days. But
an actor.
Yeah, that was it. A tiny actor.
A small actor.
And he became a homeless. He became a criminal and then a homeless gentleman. Mm. And he threatened to kneecap me. Once outside Les Mis when I was 15 years old.
Well, Les Mis can do that to a person.
Well, Les Mis, I mean, speaking of awful shows, as this one hasn't been brilliant tonight, but Les Mis really is... Anyway, here's the thing, right? So three-year-old wouldn't eat her supper, right?
Rabbit?
Look at this three-year-old, lambing. A three-year-old lambing.
Oh.
She's pulling bloody lambs out of a womb.
We took our kids to a lambing... Well, a lambing day.
Can I just do
a joke?
It
was gory.
Can I do a joke?
Go on.
We're lambing. Oh, baby, now we're lambing. Bob Marley loves lambing.
Okay.
Do, 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 do. Don't worry, we're lambing. I'm doing a mash-up.
Okay. Yeah, you are.
I'm mashed up.
Speaking of mashed up, that lambing was disgusting, right? And it was Alistair Cook, you know, the cricket man.
No.
Well, it was his in-law's farm. He spends a lot of time down there. If you watch Countryfile, you'd know that. He was on there this
apparently
weekend.
John Craven's a Countryfile. I did not know that. You can't tell, can you? You cannot tell.
Anyway, so we're watching these sheep, and it was all the parents were sort of taking bets on which one was going to drop next.
Yeah.
And then the farmer would run in. Sometimes it was Alistair Cook. Sometimes it was a young girl who was drinking a can of Sprite, I remember quite vividly.
Well, because the sugar tax will put an end to that.
She was drinking the can of Sprite. Then she would reach into the sheep, pull a lamb out, slap it down on the...
Swig on the Sprite.
Yeah, straight back in on the Sprite. I mean, that is rural, isn't it? That's rural.
In her tiny overalls with her sleeves rolled up, Lily Nicholas has impressed the nation with her lambing skills. No, she hasn't. She hasn't impressed the nation.
Well, she might be about to. Tell us more.
Oh, you're right, actually. Let's read on, shall we?
We're semi-national as we speak.
Continuez-vous, s'il vous plaît. The three-year-old has already delivered her first lambs on her It's Port Talbot. You don't say Port Talbot.
Port Talbot.
Port Talbot.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's from Monmouthshire. She appeared on BBC One's Countryfile. John Craven's a Countryfile. You just can't tell, can you? I love that joke. I wrote that joke.
It's a bit of fun.
It's a joke. Let's see if this works, shall we? Line one, you're on the wireless.
You fear Mike Mendoza.
You still running that chippy?
No.
What happened to it?
Change of jobs now.
What do you do now, then?
Work for B&M stores.
B&M. I don't know. I see a lot of B&M trucks. The further north you drive, the more B&M trucks you're going to see.
Well, that's where they started off.
Yeah.
What
does B&M stand for?
Nothing. It's just initials.
No, it stands for good value. No, it's got to stand for something.
It stands for a big warehouse type shop with all sorts in it.
Nothing. It's just initials. But the fact that it's, you know what B&Q stands for? I've told you this before. Have you been paying attention to any of our conversations?
Not that one.
Okay.
Turns out. Browns and
no,
Quentin's.
Mate. No, mate. I can't remember that guy's name. He used to phone up. He used to run a kebab shop in Croydon or somewhere like that. So people listen to
him.
I could eat a kebab now. And I can't remember his name, and he used to phone up me and Clive Bull and Mike Stickin, and it's interesting. What I kind of hoped would happen is we're getting a lot of new callers and not a lot of new listeners. We're also getting a lot of people that have been kind of let down by late night radio in the sense that there is no fun. We've also had a couple of snarky emails, I think, from the same person. But that they've been let down by the fact that there's no fun on late night radio anymore. So I can't remember that guy's name. It'll come to me anyway. She appeared on BBC One's Countryfile over the Easter weekend after a video of her bringing a lamb into the world. That's a silly way of saying it, isn't it?
Romantic, isn't it? I've seen it happen. It's not romantic.
Line two?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. It's Paul. I've been tweeting you, mate, about Watership Down.
Oh! Paul's getting choppy with me on Twitter. Wow, escalated quickly.
You are properly wrong, mate. Properly wrong. I'll send you the DVD.
No, I ain't watching
you
it.
You must. You,
no.
I dare you.
No.
I dare you.
I'm not watching it, Ebsy and your Fez.
I double dare you.
I'm not watching it.
You've got to do it. They're the rules. If I double dare you, you've got to do it.
He's not wrong, is he?
No.
He's furious. I love. In fact, can you read out the angry tweet you sent me in your angry voice? don't. Come on, focus. You can do this. The one that starts love you, mate.
Love you, mate, but you are properly wrong about Watership Down. You need to live tweet it, and you need to do it, and I'll even send you the DVD.
All right.
I've double dared.
I can't back down. All right, you're on, Ebs.
Right, okay.
But bearing in mind that I don't...
To send you the DVD.
Well, I don't seem to get any of the posts that's been sent to me here.
But I do, so you can send it to me.
Or... Follow me on Twitter,
and then I can
DM you. You can DM me your address.
Oh, for goodness sake! You sound like and that's how Charles Manson found Sharon Tate's house, and we all know what the horror that happened there.
It's not for kids though. Watership Down, not by a long stretch. Made us read that at school, and it's a proper thick book.
Stuart from Stanmore. That's who previous caller was. Thank you. Yes, of course. B&M stands for Billington and Maimon. It's like CBT.
Cognitive behaviour therapy.
That's one. There's also something else if you Google it. Id knows. Look, Id knows!
I Googled it last night.
Id knows!
It set off the alarms in IT downstairs.
See? The last word's torture.
Mm. No.
The second word is ball.
Okay.
In the footage... literally no one's listening apart from people who are angry at me for not watching Watership Down. He's furious, that bloke. He was furious. In the footage, the excited little girl is seen kneeling on the straw and reaching inside the you.
Horrible.
The me?
No, the you.
The me?
No.
To feel the baby's feet.
It's not a baby, it's a lamb.
Guided by her mother, so she's...
Been forced
to do it. Lily pulls out the newborn, shouting excitedly, I got it! She then correctly guesses the sex of the lamb, yelling, yay, a girl. On Sunday night's Countryfile, the young farmer told presenter Adam Henson that lambing was slimy and hot. She was then shown helping to deliver another lamb. I mean, this, and yet we've got other parents saying, oh, you can't watch Watership Down because it's too violent. It's too violent.
Send them down the farm.
Send them down the farm to pull out an animal from...
another animal.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, everyone's double daring me to do stuff. No, I'm not double... One double dare a night is... what's in the best of podcast tonight?
The best of podcast, you've got the prepper. Who I thought was wonderful.
It was good, Steve Hart, good sport.
And I thought the questions were very pertinent.
Well, the fact that he says Lino's question about the forthcoming
robot apocalypse
was the best question of the night. Sums it all up. Oh, good, so you got some of that in there, have you?
Yeah, I've got quite a lot of it.
Who's on the show tomorrow night?
Oh, blimey.
Is it from the Zombies?
Yeah, Colin Blunstone.
We've got Colin Blunstone from the Zombies. Brilliant. All right, that's it. That's it. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Id. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock from us. Ta-ta.